Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, green dots where we're able. We'll do routines to call the scenes to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the bat in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great
one. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stopped, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and they're carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Tracks deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look.
So I got a cell phone in my pocket, and every time I move one direction or another, I keep hearing a beep, and so I got too much junk in my pocket. I could fix that problem. I got some issues going on with the auto DJ, and I think that I can fix that problem as well. It's just going to take a little bit more time that's going on. Plus, on a live broadcast, for those out there, if you have to refresh the page a few times or clear your cache on your browser or whatever, ever since Google started all their monkey business, we've been having all kinds of problems, and I don't understand why you'd want to text somebody who's trying to basically say something nice about fixing the world or finding solutions to problems out there. You know, but it is what it is. We live in a strange world today. But, you know, hey, I got a lot of faith. I honestly believe there has to be a way. There has to be a way to fix all this stuff. I've looked into all kinds of different subjects, even my past heritage. In my past heritage, I found a few things out that kind of, you know, was kind of a little bit, well, it's beyond disheartening. But nonetheless, we'll work our way through all that kind of stuff as well. But, anyway, if you go out there and you look into North Korea and the truths about North Korea and all that kind of stuff, you'll find that there's some things happening over there. Those people over there ain't doing as well as, obviously, the leadership would like you to believe. There's things in our country that's going on and have gone on in the past. There's just so much. There's a lot of issues out there. Folks, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. That's if you're not having the same issues that everybody else has been having for some reason. But also, if you do happen to listen in and one day you just can't hear the broadcast, you can Google up Shaziz Radio. And you'll find different places like Radio Box and different other places to tune in to ShazizRadio.com. There's a bunch of links. I'm going to have to go out there. I actually had a post at one point with all the different links out there. I'll have to go through and do it all again so that ensure that you don't have this problem in the future. Hopefully I get it resolved soon. But nonetheless, this is the kind of thing we've been up against for a long time. We've been doing radio for years now, and we're always talking about, some tough subjects. We always talk about solutions to those tough subjects. We've laughed together, we've cried together, we've been frustrated together. That's what we do here on this network, so I don't understand why anyone would want to try to hinder something that, to me is that good. And so, we're going to do the best we can. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. I started mentioning North Korea. There's some terrible things going on in North Korea. I posted some links over there in the superchat.html. And if you want to watch those videos, there's one guy that actually went into North Korea and he brought out a little bit of the truth of what really happens over there. And I also posted a link about some global warming. Because the global warming, the people suffering in North Korea and even in different places like China and other places around the world, and even when it comes down to our political system over here in the United States, we got a mess going on. The Democratic Party's done lost their mind, went haywire, and all the different people out there protesting and everything for what, it's just we ain't seeing much change as far as the way the system wants to handle things. Also, I forgot to mention, sorry about that. Don't forget, if you're on the Super Chat room, you scroll down and you find a link to People for People Radio. They're also at peopleforpeople.ning.com. So go over there and join those folks, wonderful people over there. And we'll put some comments in about what we talk about here today. Maybe you might even have an idea for a solution. But when I say something kind of with a wide brush, there has to be a way. It really does. There has to be a way to resolve this problem that we have, that there are people in this world just being abused by other people in this world. It's not just something that just happened today. It's been happening for years. As I was looking up, I wanted to look into how to find out about Native heritage, because my grandmother was Cherokee Indian. But of course, as I was looking into it, I found that a lot of people claim that as well. And I even actually found out there's a whole lot more to Cherokee Indians than I really realized. That some people from basically Africa, the different nations and stuff like that, there's a whole lot of history about those folks. There's actually a language that was set up for reading and writing, by the Cherokee Indians. But as I'm looking into it, I'm finding all different things out about, how far the actual Trail of Tears went from, Oklahoma in through Missouri and all over the place. There was a lot of terrible things done to the natives. A lot of terrible things. And in every single nation out there, there's been a lot of people that have been just done terrible by other people. They're supposed brothers and sisters, they're fellow humans. The Holocaust with Nazi Germany, you got people out there who quite literally say that's something that never really happened. Well, I would like to hope it didn't happen, but my grandfather was over there in that mess, and so I pretty much take his word for, the things that he saw. And as far as the rest of the thing out there, it's just so much. Just so much. There's people from, you know, South America trying to get to North America. Why are they trying to leave their homeland if it's not so bad down there? We hear atrocities in every single direction. Every single direction. And the things that go on in places that you wouldn't even think about, you know. But it's, I have a hard time visualizing how it is that one human could do another human in the ways that we've heard about all these different things that are occurring. You know, the good book talks about, as it were, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It says that, you know, there'll be wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and all kinds of stuff. And I'm starting to wonder about all that, folks. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like that book. You know, I'm not here to argue about it. I'm not here to try to convince anybody of anything. But when you hear some of the stories coming out of places like North Korea, it's illegal to own a Bible over there. You can't own a Bible. You go to prison. That's a little bit strange, wouldn't you think? China's got some issues like that. The Middle East has got some issues like that. You know, and it's like, here we are, we're supposed to all be living in a kind of a free world, is what we're told. And it just doesn't seem like that. It seems like even those who believe they're free are living in bondage. And even your own peers, so to speak, your own neighbors, your own brothers and sisters in your own nations coming against you because of things you believe in. They're going to get frustrated because you're a Christian, or they're going to get frustrated because you're a Republican or a Democrat. They're going to get frustrated because you don't believe in what they believe in, because they want you to be accepting of things that they like to do, their lifestyles that may be contrary to your lifestyle. But I know, as much as I've said, as many bad things as are going on in this world, I still believe in the dream. I still believe there has to be a way. There has to be a way to help these people around the world. You know, if folks would spend less time worrying about themselves personally, as far as, you know, what can I gain, or, you know, I get it. You and your body and your spirit, you need to be strong. You really seriously, especially in these days, you need to be strong. So you need to be strong for yourself so you can be strong for your family and be strong for others. But outside of that, you know, when we know that there are people in this world who are literally suffering and starving needlessly, you know, fishermen washing up on North Korean fishermen washing up on Japanese shores. It's like 1,000 miles or so away from, you know, North Korea, where Japan's at. But it's not that far when you think of the grand scheme of things. But either way, you know, their system that they live under not only lies to them and propagandizes them. Of course, we know about that. We get lied to and propagandized, but we're not to the extent of the tyranny, so to speak, as those poor folks are over there. We got our own version of tyranny over here. We got a two-tiered justice system where, you know, there are groups like the FBI and supposedly the Department of, you know, whatever. It just don't, they don't abide by the rules when it comes to, if you're a certain person, you can get by with things that you couldn't be if you was just an average Joe. Just one of the citizens out there. And if we allow that to constantly be allowed to grow, then it's going to come a day where we're going to live in a situation such as North Korea. Or even the circumstances in China that for their citizens out there. You know, constantly being spied on, constantly being under threat of arrest or, you know, execution. There's a lot of us that don't have to experience that, which is an amazing thing, because nobody should actually have to experience that. But there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. You know, I keep bringing that up about the grasshopper and the ants. He says that those ants outnumber us 100 to 1, and if they ever figure that out, that there goes our way of life. Now, outside of just an all-out revolution against the system, I don't know any way to make them stop doing what it is that they're doing. They just seem to be able to get by with anything. When you got entire populations that can't even find food, can't find medicine, they can't find a home. We got a homeless crisis here in the United States that's off the scale. It's unexcusable. It is not. There's no excuse for it here in the land of plenty, the supposed home of the free and the brave. It's totally unexcusable. Now, we've got a border crisis, which they say we don't have, and the other side says we do have, but yet we have people coming from all nations trying to get here, and I can understand why they would want to do so. But if we're not prepared to take care of one another as it stands, how could we take care of anyone else that's coming across the fence? So it ain't about, you know, in a perfect world, I would love to see that we had open borders, that nobody had to have a, you know, special ID card or special papers. You could just go visit your friends and family wherever you wanted to. As long as you weren't doing any harm, then everything's fine. But unfortunately, we don't live in that world. We got people that want to exploit the system that we live in here in the United States of America. They want to come over and sell drugs and guns and do things like trafficking human beings and child atrocities beyond all words. So we live in this world that, it's messed up. There are those out there fighting against it. There are those who are actually trying to do good for the world, but they're up against a system that there are people out there that want to allow certain rules to be broken in order to ensure that they're able to stay in power. And then when you think about the North Korea, the way that that's all going down over there, they got a fairly nice military as far as I can see in all the videos. The upper echelon, the elite, seem to be well fed. They seem to be well taken care of. But the get back past the fence, when this guy that went over into North Korea and they gave a normal guided tour, so to speak, a rubber stamp tour, where they'll show you what they want you to see so that when you leave, you'll go out and report to the outside world, oh yeah, North Korea's doing great. They got nice houses. Everything's fine. But he got behind those fences. And he saw the real truth of what's going on. People living in terrible conditions. People starving to death. People not able to get the proper medicines and foods and shelter. And the fact that there are huge prison camps there, that if you disagree with your government, that's where you go. We talked about that here in the United States, about FEMA camps, about our government rounding us up and taking us to these camps like that. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, folks, and you could call it tinfoil hat thinking if you want, but if it's able to be done in North Korea, and to some extent possibly in China, different places around the world, it's not to say that at one point in history that it wouldn't be to every world, everybody in the world. You know, they talk about a one world government. You want to try to build a one world government. Bring us all under one world currency or a one world religion. All these things that we talked about, of the rabbit holes that we went down, and this conspiracy, they called them conspiracy theories. That's so conspiratorial when you start looking at a place like North Korea. That looks like exactly what they said. You couldn't buy, sell, or trade unless you had certain things, and you don't speak out against the government. You got money. You only hear the information that you're supposed to hear. You can't own a Bible unless you want to go to jail or be executed. All right, I get it. You don't like the book, but is that book worth killing somebody else over? I don't think so. I don't think any book's worth killing somebody else over. But one thing that they fear about that book is the unity that comes out of that book. All these people gather together. Whether you agree with them or not, you still have to say, there was a man named Jesus pulling a whole lot of people together. Everybody talks about him to this very day. Some even use his name as a curse word. But how you going to talk about somebody who either never existed or whatever? It doesn't matter. The point is that that one word had sparked off something throughout the entire world. That one book had sold so many copies, it's mind-blowing. You know, but is it worth taking somebody's life over? You got a government that is, you know, capable of saying that you don't get to look at this, and God isn't going to help you. We're the superior leaders. We're going to tell you what's what. You get what you get because we give it to you. That's not the world that anybody should have to live in. There have been people who have escaped North Korea, and they came out to tell their tale. Well, you'd think that with the CIA and the different agencies here in the United States, the intelligence services, that they would probably already know that these things were going on within this nation here. Same thing with China. Same thing with any other nation where you're having these problems. The world knows about it. The world knows all about it. The world knows about the dark web. The world knows about child pornography. The world knows about pedophilia. The world knows about, you know, preachers taking advantage of children. And so on. All this negativity, all this darkness, the world already knows about it. We already know about all this. So why even talk about it? There has to be a way. There has to be a way to fix it. It don't matter, you know, how bad this stuff is. There has to be a way to fix it. And we could spend millions, if not billions or trillions of dollars on military for all these different nations. You take a combined, you know, calculation of all the money that is spent in every single nation so that we can rise up against each other and fight, destroy each other, threaten each other. And you're telling me that we didn't have the resources to put food in the bellies of a child that is in a country that is so mineral rich that you can't even imagine how much they could actually be prosperous if they were allowed to have their own land and the machinery in order to be able to work the thing out. A few greedy individuals can make millions, if not billions or trillions of dollars off of blood diamonds and gold and minerals. Coal, oil, all the natural resources that should, by rights, belong to the people of that land. This isn't something that's new. This is something that's been going on and going on and going on. You know, everything that happened to the indigenous people here in the land that we call the United States. It's not just America, though. The fault lies on all of humanity. If you want to be intellectually honest with yourself, and if you want to look for a resolution for a future way that we can fix all this, it's not going to come under some one world banner. It's not going to come under some one world military. It's not going to come under some one world government, some one world ideology or religion. It's going to have to be when those ants realize that they outnumber those grasshoppers 100-1, and they stand up. You know, in the process of trying to research for this show, I come across all kinds of things. I was actually even looking into taxes. You know that they still to this day can't find anything in the law that says that you are legally obligated to pay taxes on your labor and your work, your income. To this day, they can't. But yet they still arrest people for not paying their taxes. There's a whole lot of things that don't jive with the Constitution. And it's the ignorance of the people that allow these individuals, these dark entities or evil people out there to run amok right over the top of us. All of us, you know, that are out here constantly researching and trying to give information, we're under the gun here. Literally. I start to do a broadcast and I find out that I'm having technical difficulties. Why am I having technical difficulties? Who am I? Am I this famous character out there that's getting information everywhere that it needs to go? No, it is a struggle to get information over that fence. We tried to go over the fence, under the fence, through the fence. We tried to do everything. We have tried to beg and plead and help and try to get everyone to, you know, pass the note around, grab this link and take it around the fence and hand it to somebody else, hand it, get the word out to the rest of the people of the world that we have solutions that we could work together on. But between Google censorship, if you ain't got certain certificates or whatever, they have ways around us. Don't matter if you pay for a secure certificate, if they deem that you're not secure, then they're going to just do that. You go look at that video that I posted in the chat room about the global warming, which is a big lie. It's a scam. They're teaching our children flat-out, bold-faced lies in science in school. And you watch and you look at that, look underneath there, YouTube, one of the major platforms of Google. We'll make sure that it puts the counter narrative down there so everyone can see down there that there's somebody else who disagrees with it. But they don't do that in turn for you. They don't put a conservative view under the liberal view on any of the other deal out there. No, they don't do that in turn for you. They do that only on things that they disagree with, things that do not fit their narrative. That's not a free speech platform. And the mainstream media, who we've all figured out thus far, is not a place to get real news. They've got digital technology now to where they can literally make it look like anyone's saying anything and pass it off. They call them deep fakes. So we're coming into a scary zone when it comes down to whether or not we're ever going to be able to stop this thing before it gets too far out of hand. How we're going to fix all this stuff. This is where a real meeting of the minds is required. This is where you, yourself, is going to become the most important person in the world. This is where you, yourself, combine with somebody else out there and become the two most in people. And then the three, and then the four, and then the five, and the six, and then bringing those numbers up until they can't shut us down. They can't suppress our ideas. We talk about peace, hope, and love all the time. We're not talking about going out there, going to war, or going up against our government. We don't have to go up against our government in order to resolve this. The things that you can do combined, even individually, don't take nothing to pass a link around. You know, they got these algorithms, artificial intelligence that will look for keywords. We don't show up in a search engine. If you can't listen here at ShazizRadio.com, Google up Shaziz Radio. And you'll find different links, and if you can't listen over at peopleforpeople.ning.com, Google up People for People Radio, and you will find other links to listen in. Other websites with other software, different ways that you can listen in. And if you find them, post them for everybody else just in case, because we're having issues. We're going to continue to keep on broadcasting as long as we can. But you can obviously see that if you're like a dictator in North Korea where you control the internet, you control the information so that you can remain in power, our country's trying to do the same thing. So's yours. Trying to shut us up. Shut us down. You know, using every dirty trick, every single loophole in the book, copyrights or, you know, whatever. Terms of services. You want to talk about terms of services, folks? YouTube tells you can't put hateful content on there. YouTube, basically, in their terms of services, I challenge any one of you, get up there and read it. Read it in full. They tell you you're not supposed to put nudity. They tell you you're not supposed to put filthy content. And YouTube is one of the largest companies out there that actually has on their servers pornography, exploiting women. exploiting teenage girls. YouTube is just as guilty as everyone else out there on the dark web. While they put one face up there in front of the people, they don't let you know that you can go on YouTube and you can literally, as a child, watch pornography. Of course, they'll say, well, you know, you got all these things in place, you got to click on I'm 18. Of course, you know, the youth of today don't know nothing about computers. They couldn't make up a secondary account where they could just go on there and say, yeah, hey, I'm 18. Really? But either way, what it boils down is to the hypocrisy of Google, the hypocrisy of YouTube, the hypocrisy of all those out there wanting to censor any content on the web. It's one of the reasons why the dark web even exists. If you look into that dark web, you'll find out senators and congressmen and CIA and all the alphabet soup folks, they're out there. Those folks out there that are doing things behind the scenes, you know, the skeletons in the closet that they don't want anybody to know about, they're out there. Those hypocrites that get up there and tell you how they want to fix the world and save the children, they're out there. And they're still doing the same exact thing. They're making money hand over fist. Yeah, here in the United States, we need term limits. We need equal justice under law. We need people to be prosecuted for crimes committed in our name. But, once again, until those ants realize, until they figure it out, until all you people out there realize that you outnumber them thousands, if not millions, if not billions to one, they'll do everything they can to get each one of you involved in their shenanigans. They'll get you watching that nasty stuff. They'll get you sharing that nasty stuff. Little nasty memes of all kinds of stuff. What did Paul Harvey say back in 1965? You heard it. If you haven't heard it, Google it up. Listen to Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil, in 1965. If that don't shock you into reality, nothing will. Because he said it. He said it. But either way, that's where we're at. But I still believe, beyond all the, you know, negativity, beyond all the stuff that's out there, as much as is against us, in my faith, if God is with you, then no one can come against you. And I feel that same way about we the people. If we're together, this stuff will stop. As long as we're separated, as long as we're willing to argue over ridiculousness like politics and all the crazy other stuff. Man wants to wear a dress, I guess that's his business. But he don't have to shove it in everyone else's face. We got bigger fish to fry. We got people around this world that need saving. We got people that are suffering, that are being treated much worse than we are. What we got's bad enough. But what they got, it's inhumane. So with that said, I'm not the only one here. Hi, Barbara. I'm sorry to ramble on for so long. How you doing?
Hey, you guys out there in People for People Land and wherever else you are coming from or listening to or listening from, this is Barbara Three Crow. Chaz, it's always good to hear you ramble on. It's fine. Every once in a while we need to ramble on, right?
And yep.
It's good. you know, I'm just listening to you talking and so on, and I was thinking the other day about, well, I guess I happened to be watching this documentary on a case about this boy, Gabriel his name was, 8-year-old boy, I guess it's a couple of years now, but they just put out a documentary on it. Apparently, you know, I mean, I've been looking at stuff that is not fun to look at, unfortunately. And, you know, but I just do because I'm curious and interested, and I'm interested in all kinds of things and what is going on in our world. And when I see things that are kind of concerning and even beyond concerning, I want to find out why. You know, that's just my nature. Why do these things happen? And this particular documentary on this boy, 8-year-old boy, Gabriel, apparently his, oh, you know, it's like layers and layers and layers of stuff that happens to people when they're little. It goes for generations, okay, we know that. So you have one generation messed up, dysfunctional, could be drugs, could be alcohol, could just be, you know, not knowing how to love their children. And then they're passing on abuses or they're passing on whatever, all kinds of things going on like that. The next generation, that follows suit, and the little children they bring up, same thing goes on with them. And so it's passed through generations. Well, I guess the circumstances of the situation where this 8-year-old boy was basically beaten to death by his stepfather, but his mother took part in it. And it was just mind-boggling. Of course, deeply disturbing. But it was a case that made, the papers everywhere. People all over the country here in the U.S., we're looking at this circumstance that this boy went through, but you know what? They were in the system. Okay, now what I mean by that is the system of child protective service, welfare, child welfare, and child protective service. And somehow this boy fell through the cracks, you know, and it was a horrible thing. And it was about the trial. It was justice for this boy. Everybody was yelling and screaming that we must have justice for Gabriel. And so it was a long documentary, a couple of nights I was watching it, and I was just thinking about the system and how people get lost in the system. Well, come to find out, the system, the Child Protective Services and Welfare System, plus the Sheriff's Department, plus high uppy up mucky mucks who set the system up, It's like the Republicans and the Democrats, or any other system, the FBI and the CIA, those systems, they don't work together. They don't communicate. Nobody knows what anybody else is doing. And so if you have a care of a child in your hands as a system, and there are other people involved, because, you know, you have the sheriff's called or the police called because there's an episode or an incident, and somebody calls the police and they go, and there's no reports, or there are reports, but the reports that come through don't reach the people that need to get these reports about a child's life, abuses and violations. You have the education system. You have people saying, well, that's not our business to get involved. But, well, whose business is it to get involved when it comes to a child, the safety of a child? So I'm just looking at this documentary, and, well, the final thing was, it was, you know, a couple of years after the death of this boy, the murder of this boy, brutal, terrible, terrible, that you couldn't imagine this child going through what he did. And he tried to reach out, he tried to give signals, he tried to give signs, and so on, and people just overlooked him or ignored him or didn't believe him. They believed the parent who was saying he's a bad kid, he's a liar, and the police believed the mother, and this social worker believed the mother who met them at the door and said, oh, he's fine, he's just fine. It was like a nightmare, you know. It's kind of like the edge of your seat experience where you just want to take this child and save this child. Well, he fell through the cracks, but looking at the documentary, it was all about the messed up system. Adults working in these systems who made the wrong choices, who also weren't communicating with each other, who also actually outright determined, well, it's not our business, or let's just overlook it because it's a Friday. This was one incident. It's a Friday. We were heading for the weekend, and we don't want to cause trouble because, you know, we don't get paid overtime anyway. So let's just ignore this. It was that bad, you know, and I'm just thinking of how many children I've been noticing in the world. Why I'm talking about this is about the amount of people in the world and the stories. Everybody has a story. We got so many stories, you know. Children are being violated and abused. We have history. Somebody will sit down and tell you, well, you never, here's what happened to me. And then you have the alcohol, you have the drugs in our system, you have the addictions. The system itself, I do feel, it's a failing system. It's been failing. Maybe it was set up to fail.
Can you remember how many times that you've actually been to Walmart and looked on the wall and all these missing children, younger people, just missing?
Well, I don't go to Walmart, but I know what you're talking about because it would be in the newspapers or there would be papers tacked up on telephone poles, missing child, you know, and so on. Yeah, I do.
Well, there's a lot of people being exploited all over the world, and the thing about it is a lot of folks don't realize this, that whenever you watch certain shows or certain deals like that promote that or basically glamorize violence or rape or anything like that, there are shows out there that literally glamorize it. All right?
Well, I just let me just finish my thought.
All right.
My thought is about the populations, okay, the populations in the world, you know, where I guess you want to say the forgotten people. This child was certainly forgotten, but they weren't in some remote village up in the mountains somewhere. They were in Los Angeles. So I'm just saying, it just came to my mind about the amount of population in the world, and I'm not saying it's overpopulated. What I'm saying is the amount of people in the world that are forgotten, and the stories. Everybody, there's so many stories, you know. Children, child labor and various other things like that. Child exploitation, yes. I just had this video about this new movie. I guess it's a German movie. It's supposed to be a gem of a movie. And guess what it's about? Well, it's about an android 10-year-old girl who's programmed, okay, this scientist created this 10-year-old android girl. But of course in the movie it's a real girl, a 10-year-old real girl playing this role. Well, there's like a lot of suggestive things in this movie about what's happening with that little girl and her so-called daddy. She calls this guy daddy. And it's, I guess you'd say, it's like a virgin into or a suggestive, very dark, suggestive relationship about this, like a Lolita. I don't know if you remember that movie Lolita. You guys might be too young out there. I don't know. Lolita, that was like the first kind of a movie I think it was in the 60s, about a young girl's sexual promiscuity in regards to older men. And her name was Lolita. And so I guess this is along the same lines, but, and the controversy over it. Of course, the people are saying, well, it's only an android. Well, yeah, but the android is being played by a real human girl who's 10, and her parents signed up their daughter to do this role. Half the time, I guess she's kind of naked in the movie. And there's lots of things going on kind of in the dark room, but you can hear what they're doing or hear their voices. So what I'm saying is, it's based, I guess it's sort of like some people are saying it's pushing pedophilia, okay? And this is where we are today. But I'm looking at the people in the world, and those that are the stories of the children, for instance, specifically, that nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going on to these little people in the world, and other people, not just the children. The stories, the tragedies, and the tough times, and the difficulties, and the surviving, things that are going on. But this boy, I guess this 8-year-old boy, and his living in Los Angeles there, neighbors, all stacked up against each other. Nobody knew, nobody said a thing, but the police, sheriff's department knew things, they kept quiet. Child Protective Service knew things, they didn't follow through. Again, they didn't follow through. They got reports, but they didn't follow through. Well, a teacher saw things and called up about that boy in her classroom, called the Child Protective Services, and they didn't follow through. I mean, it went on and on and on and on and on. You just couldn't imagine it. It was just like one of those, documentaries, a real-life documentary about a child falling through the cracks, and he wound up being murdered. Yes, his stepfather went to death row, and his mother took a plea deal, and she got life in prison. Now, the mother's story is enough to put the hair on the back of your neck. When she was a girl, what happened to her? I didn't tell in the documentary what the father's story was, his childhood, but it just brought to mind what is going on in our world, you know, the stories that are untold and various other things that happen. And so your question is, how can we fix this? You know, now, do you know there are 195 countries throughout the world, 195, and do you know there's like 2020, there's only 10 happiest countries that you can go to, 10 happiest countries in the, for 195 countries in the world, there's only 10 happiest countries.
Yes,
you might
that's a mess. That's a mess. Well,
that's a big mess.
I want to try to address a comment in the chat room in there. I'm not exactly sure what I'm understanding about this, let's talk about Robin's talking about, is it not correct that if you want the right to bear arms in your amendments that you follow in the law, that you don't follow the others? Look, every single one of those amendments are important. Every single one of them. They were all put there for a reason. And the only thing that keeps us from actually being the same as what is going on in North Korea or even China for that matter, or even possibility of Russia or anywhere else in the world, here in the United States, the only thing that keeps that government at bay is the fact that we have that Second Amendment and that First Amendment. The First Amendment being the actual, way that you can actually speak out against your government when you disagree without any kind of retribution from your government. You have that freedom of speech. But, all these other things out there that are thrown out there as ways to try to, muddy up the water, those aren't significant compared to somebody out there in this world who can't even get any food, can't get any shelter or medicine, and they are literally under the gun, If you step out of line, they're going to use those guns against you. Well, that is why the American people are fighting as hard as they can to preserve the Second Amendment so that we, if we have to be pushed that far, can literally rise up against a tyrannical government. So it's not about us wanting to be, these big bad cowboy-loving, gun-toting crazy people. It's about the real reason why that United States Constitution was actually put into place. Now, I get it. There was a lot of dirty deeds to get there. I get that. But now we are all in the here, and we're in the now. Some of you out there listening in, you don't have those rights. You don't have the right to keep and bear arms or to carry a concealed weapon. You don't have the right to speak out. Some of you will actually get jailed if you say certain terminology that is deemed to be hate speech. That is what that First Amendment is to protect us from. And if you allow that worldwide, if it finally gets to the point where nobody can say anything that's that you don't agree with, then we all lose that. And for the last stand here with the right to defend yourself against a tyrannical government, that's the reason why that Second Amendment was there, and that's the reason why we want to hold on to it, because it's the only thing standing between us and what's happening to those folks over there in North Korea, because the American people won't tolerate starvation in the streets like that. Even though here in the United States we have homelessness, we have hunger, we have all that, but there are people who can literally go over there and they can help these people out. Physically, they're there. I can't just get on a plane, take a bunch of food, and hand it to the people in North Korea or different places in Africa or different places in China. I can't get past that system and get over there and help these people out personally. Otherwise, I'd be there and wouldn't be talking to you right here at the moment. The thing is, folks, You know, for whatever the world thinks about America, I get it. I understand. It's a mess. But it's not the only mess. There's messes in Ireland, there's messes in Scotland, there's messes in Canada, there's messes in Russia, there's messes in China, there's messes in Mexico, there's messes all over this world. Some places, Barbara just mentioned, there's only 10 countries that are, you know, pleasant to live in. The rest of them are living in a nightmare. And I want to fix it. I want to figure out there's got to be some way. There has to be a way. There has to be a way that we all together can come together and fix it. You know, they always talk about some grassroots movement. Well, we're grassroots. We're from different nations. We're from different parts of the United States. We're from different parts of the world. Our words matter. The things that we say, the things that we do matter. This might just be a little bit of a radio show for some folks, but for me, it's a serious deal. It's serious enough that I get emotional, and sometimes I'm brought to tears because I think about all these people out there that can't have a decent meal, that don't have a comfortable bed to sleep in at night, that don't have safety and security. But also, I'm not naive to know, to think that, you know, if I give all this over to the government, the government's not God, although they think they are. And their track record stinks. People here in the United States lose their home to taxes. People in the United States lose their home to a lack of gainful employment. People in the United States have to do all kinds of things and jump through all kinds of hoops. Basically sell themselves into, you know, the working poor or working servitude just in order to try to survive and feed their families. When other people out there can't seem to be able to make it, they fall through the cracks of society. Some of our own people turn around and look down upon them as if they're not even human anymore. We don't need martial law. We don't need a government coming in here stepping on the backs of our necks and telling us you got to give a little bit of yours to theirs. We need to make those choices on our own. If I'm driving down the road and I see a man on the side of the road who's hungry and has a sign that asks for some money, if I got money, I'm going to stop and I'm going to give it to him. Heck, if I had just bought my lunch and I see this man, I'll stop and give him my lunch. I'll go home and get me something to eat. But doggone it, it's you that has to take care of each other. It's never going to be this government. We've already seen it's never going to be them. It's we the people. You count up the numbers of the people. They say there's like 7 billion people on this world or more. 7 billion people. And it's us that they have working in factories. It's us that goes to war. It's us that they call when they need work done. It's not these fancy people in the suits. It's not all these wealthy people with the Rolexes and the fancy cars and the movie stars and all that kind of stuff. It's not all the people out there that are, you know, celebrities. It's us. We're the ones that get work done. And right now, there's a large majority of us who are distracted. There's a large majority of us who are on some sort of drug or another. Who are on some sort of, you know, medication or alcohol. There's a lot of us who are so frustrated and distracted in our own situation that we can't even take care of our own families because we feel so bad for ourselves. We've been told so long that there's no way we can succeed. By yourself, you might only have a dollar in your pocket, but look, you got 200, almost 320 million people in the United States. A small fraction of those are actually in the leadership. The rest of you, if you ever decided to put your resources together, your manpower, your finances, you would be a force to be reckoned with. You can't be that force to be reckoned with while you're fighting once another. While you're fighting each other, you're just helping the system. You're feeding the same beast that's eating you all alive, each and every one of you. And meanwhile, Barbara just told some tragic stories there about some children. And it's happening. It's happening on a daily basis. It's happening right now while we're talking. We got to figure out a way to root it out. We got to figure out a way to bring the light to it. We got to be the ones that are brave enough to go down there and shine the light on that darkness. Bring them children to safety. Look, I know that every single one of you sitting over there at People for People chat room right now, if you were driving down the road and you came across somebody that was in any kind of need whatsoever, whether it be tragic or whether it be dangerous, you would put yourself out there to go help that person. And I know that over there at Chaziz Radio, the same exact thing. All these other networks that are listening in right now, I know that each one of you are the same exact way, that you would go out of your way in order to help someone. That's your true power. So, lobby in the Congress, lobby in the Senate. I've already tried. I wrote letters to presidents. I wrote letters to companies and corporations and environmental protection agencies and all these different alphabet soup agencies saying, look, we got to do something. How can we get together and help fix this? They got no problem spying on you. They got no problem categorizing you. They got a rap sheet on you. Believe me. If you're on the internet, they know who you are. You ain't being sneaky. I don't care if you got your onion browser. You're not being sneaky. They know who you are. They know exactly where you're at. They know what you've been looking at. They just give you that illusion of being sneaky. They give you that illusion of being free so that you're going to continue to do what it is that you do in order to give them the dirt on you in case you ever rise to the occasion where you're going to try to become one of these people of power. And they don't want you in the seat of power. Because if you got a heart like you got right now, and you get up there and you're going to actually pay attention and care about things, you might actually get things changed. Now, I don't know how to do it, but I sure would love to talk to some folks out there in the world on a grander scale than what we've been doing, because we've been shouting it to all four points of the compass from every single mountain we could climb. We've been shouting it. There is a way. I know there's a way. We just got to figure it out. So what are you thinking about, Barbara?
Oh, I've been typing away here. I'm sorry, I thought I was on mute. I've been typing away with the wonderful people in the chat going back and forth. And, the COVID came up and the guns came up, the martial law came up and everything else came up. I was just looking, I said, don't get on the ship, the train, or the bus.
Yep, that's it.
Yep, that's my response to everything. But I just, you know, I'm thinking of the, you know me, I feel that the way of our people, the original peoples, and I have to tell you, when I speak about original people, I'm including all you people out there, because your people, no matter where you were on this planet, were also considered the original people, tribal people. What my elder Wallace Blackout said, we were the earth people. You know, the ways that the people originally lived, you know, that tribal consciousness, I call it, because, you know, when you have your tribe, well, we're all a big tribe now, black, red, yellow, white, now brown people. We're all a big tribe, a world tribe of people, and they've pitted us deliberately against each other, you know, and this whole thing coming in, the race war, the deviance, sexual deviance, the Hollywood, the mainstream media, and some politicians and all that, you know, have really worked hard. The whole political game, and the word game is exactly what it is. It's like, I was thinking of, well, we have the Democrats, mostly we have the Republicans. Well, then you might have a couple of whatever the other parties are called, the Green Party or the Blue Party, I don't know. But mainly our system is two-party system, Republicans and Democrats, right? If you want to vote, pretty much in this country, you sign up. I mean, everybody, rah-rah, sign up, become a Democrat, rah-rah, sign up, become a Republican, fight the Democrats, yeah, fight the Republicans. It's all about fighting each other. It's all about being pitted against each other. It's just like, you know, the team, wear this hat, wear this shirt, wear, you know, buy this product, then you're on that team, you fight for that team, you scream for that team, you bully others about your team. It's the same thing, Republicans, Democrats. Let's pit these people, you know, who live here in this country, who all live here in this country. Well, let's pit the people who live here on the earth. This is our home. this country here is our home. You guys over there across the big pond, that's your home. You have all people over there, that's their home too. But the whole world is our home. This is our home. We all live here together. But some people, the controllers, factors, or the whatever you want to call them, I'm tired of calling them and identifying them. You know who I mean. They had the idea if we pit the people against each other, we can win because they're stronger together. Their unity and the abilities they would have together will take us down. We're only a few, by the way. They are only a few. There's more of us than them, but here we are stupidly following their rules and their regulations. Sign up for this party. You have to be a Dem or you have to be a Republican. And if you're a Republican, the Dems are the monsters. If you're a Democrat, the other guys are the monsters. Name-calling, Nazis, you know, dirty people, evil, whatever it is. And I don't watch those debates. I think it's a circus. The whole thing is a circus. I won't involve myself. But I don't know. I just seen some things about people were complaining, and I guess they were tweeting, and I guess they were kind of like disgusted with the recent debates about those people up there. It's become, I guess, like a screaming fest about this one's dirtier than that one, you know, or this one's got more money than that one, or this one's going to save the world and the others are not going to save the world, and people picking on each other and people sitting in the audience like this is a, I don't know, like a movie, a good movie or something. It's insane. I'm just saying there is a mess. It's a whole mess. They created it. We're part of it, too. We are a part of the mess. We can't keep pointing fingers at other people. Oh, it's the Dems. Oh, no, it's the Republicans. Oh, no, it's the color folks over there. No, it's those folks over there. Oh, no, it's Mao. No, it's the socialists. No, it's Bernie Sanders. No, it's the Russians. It's the whomever. It's just like, don't you see this huge monster that we are participating in? This pitting against each other constantly, whether you're wearing this clothes or not wearing those clothes, whether you have that car or not, whether you're this color or not, whether you're that religion or not, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or the Green Party, whatever it is, they've set us up so well to be pitted against each other. Oh, wait, if you're a woman, well, you got to be pitted against the male. If you're a male, you got to be pitted against the female. They've done such a good job. They've done such a good job. And we're basically complicit in this. You know, we signed up. We signed up. Didn't you sign up? You all signed up, right? I don't belong to any party. I didn't even vote last year. I very rarely did vote. And I certainly wouldn't have voted for what was sitting up on the, you know, the possibilities for I guess, the last election. And this election doesn't look much better. What I'm saying is, I think that's the mess. We keep voting these people in who promise this, promise that, promise this, promise that. Promise this and promise more. When they get into office, guess what? Has history been any different? We're still fighting. We're still in wars. People are still hungry. People are still beating each other up. It's like nothing has changed. It doesn't matter. And it's the same for other countries, too. Your system is the same system as we have here in the U.S. It's under just one umbrella, a group of people who determined to pit us against each other, to actually, you know, poison us, drive us crazy. You know, if you want, I don't know all the stuff. We could go through the list if you want. You know, chemtrails, fluoride in the water, pesticides, vaccinations. Abortions, no abortion, yes abortion. Well, now it's a long-term abortion, or now it's even, well, let's just let the baby will be born if you did try to abort it. This is a law for you. If you try to abort the baby and it didn't work, well, now the law says you're not supposed to help that baby. That is a law. That's a law out there somewhere in Virginia. I don't know who, is it Virginia? I don't know. It doesn't matter, does it? Does it matter?
No, it's terrible either way.
And people, and yes, women's rights. Well, now men's rights. Yes, women do have rights, should have rights, and men should have rights too. But they have pitted us against each other, so all the rights are squirreled around. Nobody even knows what should be a right anymore. What is a real thing that we should be doing, living? How should we be living in this world together in unity? So I go to our people, the original people, the earth people, to the original instructions that Creator gave all people, black, red, yellow, white, gave all the people the original instructions on how to live on this earth, this miraculous earth where everything you ever needed was here. The water was clean, all right? There were animals, there were foods, there were medicines. Everything in this creation, okay, was here, given to us. What did we wind up doing? Well, who did we follow? We followed the Pied Piper over the cliff.
Yeah.
And we're still following the Pied Piper over the cliff. We're still fighting each other now. But the original people worked together in order to survive. Now nobody gives a crap. They'll step on somebody else so they can survive alone. That's this system that we are under.
And the thing about it is that every time that you hand your authority of taking care of yourself and getting things done over to somebody else and relying on them to do it, faithfully or honestly or whatever, that's when we always get into trouble. Every time we give our power into the hands of supposed representation, and then we go to sleep, they get to do all kinds of things. They come back and tell us, oh, look, well, these terrorists just blew us up, so we're going to go get them. We're going to go get them. We've been in Afghanistan for 17 or 18 years now, folks.
I had the numbers there. I don't remember what it was, but
how
many
perpetual
years?
War. We're constantly at war. And it's not bad enough we're at war with other nations. We're at war with each other. We're at war in our families, in our streets. And folks, I don't know how to tell you this. These folks are doing this to you on purpose.
The thing I feel, and I know you'll agree with me, is, again, I have to say it, everything we all ever needed was here.
Yeah.
There's not an overpopulation. It's just the way it's set up. That's what they set us up to believe. It's overpopulation. And now you have, that Gates, evil Gates there, Bill Gates, have given you the solution. They set the problem up. They saw the reaction. Everybody's saying, yeah, there's too many people, not enough of this and too much of that or whatever. Oh, well, he gave us the solution, about the vaccines. We'll take out part of that population. He said those words himself on the TED show. And what are they putting in the vaccines? I was looking at a lot of this corona stuff, because I'm curious about what the heck is going on. And so I'm looking at some stuff, and I was looking at this virologist who was talking about the vaccines. I guess he was being interviewed for some other circumstance. The scientist was saying he was being interviewed, I think it was either in Congress, I think, there was an investigation. And he was being interviewed, and he was being questioned about what was in the vaccines. I didn't do much research. I suppose we all should, because, what the heck are we being vaccinated with? Well, there are people that say this is in the vaccination. There are people that say that's in the vaccines. There are those that are saying that it's given, spiking autism and killing children. And these are real stories. I saw people at the Congress and the Senate giving testimony on what happened when their child, their infant, their little baby was vaccinated. I've seen people tell their stories. I've seen doctors now who are changing their mind and saying, crying in front of audiences and asking for forgiveness because they didn't really realize. They didn't do a study on the vaccines. They didn't know, but they began to see what was going on with their patients. So I've seen the gamut. I've seen the gamut of people saying you have to vaccine or you're going to kill everybody else's kid. Vaccines won't hurt you, blah, 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 blah. It's amazing because if you look at the study, if you study vaccines, when I was a kid, I was talking about this other day, I was born in 1942. So maybe around 1946 or 47, suddenly the whole town, where we are here in the Hudson Valley, New Paltz, I remember the day. And I don't know, all I remember is I was outside on the sidewalk in the town. Up and down Main Street, there were hundreds and hundreds of kids all lined up. Down at the end of the line, there was a little table there. There were nurses and doctors, and they had these needles, and we all got in line, and we all got jabbed. And no, I don't know what they were doing. I had no idea. Did my parents know? No, they were just all told, line your kids up because they're going to save their life or whatever it is, or they need this because of that or whatever. Think of that. Well, in those days, there was maybe about, I don't know, I'm just going to say off the top of my head, three substances in your vaccine. If you do a study on the vaccines today and the increase in various other substances that they have put in, well, now they put in, pig parts. They put in fetal parts. And this scientist, this doctor was talking about, he was answering the question, and this inquiry. And they said, are there fetal parts in the vaccines? And he said, yes. Are there pig parts? And he said, yes. I mean, there were others, this whole list. I couldn't listen anymore. And I'm thinking, this is like a nightmare. Who in their right mind would come up with vaccines to vaccinate little babies, pure little babies, okay, under this guise that they're going to save the baby, you know, and plugging them with all these weird things, pig parts, fetal parts, and I don't even know all what else. Yeah, lead, and who knows. I'm just mind-blowing. This is the authorities, my friends, and the people line up, like my folks line me up in the street, my sister, my brothers, me, five of us, and the whole town. Line up, get this shot.
Well, the bad thing is that the people at the very tip top of this whole entire mess, they got it in their head that they know what's best for you. They know what's best for your children. They know what's best for the world. And people like Bill Gates, who has a lot of power and a lot of money, to say what he said about them vaccines. We do a good job with vaccinations. We can reduce the population. And we're the only ones who caught that.
I know. No, other people caught it too, but I'm going to correct you. You said these people say they know what's best for us. No, they know what's bad for us, but they tell us it's good.
Well, apparently both ways, but either way, they smile in your face while they're trying to stab you in the back, is what the whole thing is.
I thought that, isn't that a song? That was a song. Smile in your face.
Try to stab you in the back.
I don't know. Listen, I guess you have to laugh, otherwise you'd be crying all day long. I don't have, I still have great faith, and I'm so thankful for that. And I want to get back to the tribal way and the connectedness to the earth. And the way of the people was a very powerful faith and a very powerful connectedness. They didn't have religions, organized religions in those days. You know how I feel about that. But they were spiritual people, people connected to the earth, people aware, people listening, people in a conscious relationship with the earth, the Mother Earth, the Great Spirit, Creator. These were our people, your people, Shaz, my people, Patty's people,
yep.
Angeline, Zam, James, Laws, Grizz, everybody out there, your people, original people, were earth people. They were all tribal connected. They had to survive with each other. You couldn't survive alone. You needed each other. I mean, and I'm talking about before the Industrial Revolution. I'm talking about all the stuff that started to happen. Now we have the technological revolution that is, where are they taking us? You know, so you have, okay, so technology in some ways is good, okay, it's really good, but then it's taken to another level where it is not good, where there are people who are actually dreaming up these things for the new technologies that are not good. They're not good at all. Then we have like the CERN, the scientists at CERN who sat down and listened to them years ago when Patty and I were talking about this. I haven't gone back to CERN in a while, but, why? Why bother? You know, it's like unbelievable what's going on there. But that CERN scientist sat there and said, well, we are going to be gods and you can't stop us. This scientist sat there and said that. You know, yeah, they're looking for the God particle. Yeah, they're looking for the answers to all of life so they can be in the top-notch control of it. They're messing with nature. They're messing with Creator's nature, with Mother Nature. They're messing up the system that was originally put in place for all of us people. You know, the clean, pure water, the clean air, the foods, the natural foods, the natural medicines. Everything like that is now messed up. Everything is messed up.
Yeah,
you know?
And in the meantime, the good people of the world have to sit by feeling helpless that we can't help those folks that are in other nations. You can't just get on a plane anymore and go somewhere. You can't just say, yeah, look, hey, there's somebody starving. I'm gonna take them a sack
lunch.
Well,
you can't do that now because unless you're gonna wear a bodysuit or a hazmat suit, and that's another debacle. That's another. You know, is it a bioweapon? This is interesting because the Japanese people are studying this and they're working with their own people who are now, I guess, came down with this coronavirus or the COVID-19 now. They changed the name, doesn't matter. But they found within this viral thing, they found the AIDS HIV link. And they concluded, because they found, now this is in Japan, the scientists in Japan, they found the HIV marker in the COVID virus. They concluded then that this was a man-made bioweapon, that it was not just by accident, came from a meat market or a pig market or a bat market or a snake market in somewhere in Wuhan. Okay, I'm just throwing that out to you, okay? I'm not an expert and I'm not a scientist. I'm just telling you, I've been looking at all this stuff. It's very curious to me, and I think there is a lot of fear-mongering. Now, there are some people that are saying, well, this is basically to take down the economy. Well, it's looking like it is, doesn't it? The Dow went down 1,000 points, and I don't know much about the Dow, but everybody's freaking out. The shipping is stalled. Shipping, meaning the shipping all over the world, not just from China. We're talking shipping all over the world. Why? So why is that? Okay, so because everybody's being terrified to get this corona, this COVID. Now, some are saying it's just like the flu, and some are saying, as a matter of fact, more people die a year from the flu than, you know, whatever. But you have to question, okay, first of all, I'm going to say, back up, sit down, take a deep breath, and don't be in fear, number one. Okay, there are solutions to everything, I do believe that. We've been working and talking with, it's all about money, Chris says. He's right. It is all about the money. And it's all about the control. Again, if you feel you're losing control, let's look at it this way. If there's a few people on the top of the pyramid that aren't very nice people, let's say they're the dirty dozen. There's probably a couple dozen up there, but one dirty dozen up there, okay, says, wait, we're losing control. We're going to lose our money source because people are waking up. Oh, people are getting smart. People are questioning. So what do we got to do? Now, if things are looking pretty shaky for them, they have to do something. They have to drop a bomb. And I think it's 2 years now, Patty and I, and most recently we're saying to each other, there's going to be something coming that has to be a worldwide event. The biggest thing is going to take down the economy. It's going to spin everybody around. And that's what something is going to be. This could be it because, okay, we have the markets dropping. We have the trade is down, the no shipping. You have supplies that are being halted. Not only just food supply, you have pharmaceuticals, you have car parts, you have machinery, but you have all kinds of things that are traveling around the world, right, through shipping. It's not just from China. It's from the States to China to Chile, to France, to Peru. You have shipping is all over the world. And it's stalled right now. And they're talking about, get your stuff. You know, stock up on your stuff. Because places, markets in Italy have no food. People are punching and killing and spitting on each other, for food in Italy. Okay. I'm just saying. So we have to step back. Take a breath, not be in fear, not be led by the fear mongers, because the mainstream media is doing the fear mongering. There is something going on, for sure, but there are solutions, okay? And wash your hands, whatever, but that's not a bad idea. They say that just about the flu. Make sure you wash your hands. Well, there are alternative medicines that we know about, like the chaga, for instance. Now, doctors in Japan are working with some of the patients with chaga, and they've healed them. Okay, chaga is just one, and you have the other Chinese medicines, and China has the most ancient medical system. It's over 2,000 years old. It's not just acupuncture. It's medicines from the earth. Okay, they have this knowledge, but guess where they are today? Mostly with Western medicine.
Yep.
So I'm just saying, don't panic, get your crap together, you know what I'm saying? Find your community, get close to the people around you, like the elders have told us, find your community, get your clean water, stock up on your water, get your gardens, and I add, get your spiritual foundation strong, because that's what our people originally had. We were close to the Mother Earth, We were in unity. We were tribal. We were connected. We were awake in that sense. We needed each other, you guys. We need each other. And stop being pitted against. They're pitting us against each other deliberately. So I'm just saying, that's my little speech.
Well, I'm doing everything I can to track down my heritage, you know. And so, with that said, I'm actually going to learn the language of the Cherokee because I want to know it. But as far as everything else out here, the best advice that I can give everybody out there is to start a network in your own community of people. And start working towards that, just asking the questions. What would we do in a worst case scenario to work together to ensure that all of our families were cared for? And I guarantee you, if you start working it from that perspective right there, anything happens, the grid goes down or whatever, you know, that you'll be ready for it. You'll be ready with your home gardens and your home medicine. We got access to information right now. If we don't utilize this information right at this point in time, download everything you can about anything while you can. I mean, literally, go out there, buy you a bunch of flash drives or whatever you can store that information on, download it, print it out, put it in hard copy, soft copy, pepper it around to your friends so that they all have copies of it, so that if ever come the day with this internet shut down, you'd still have that access to that. And if the power grid shut down, you'd still have access to power if we all get together and work on the things that I keep talking about on the Mad Science Show on Saturdays. Which, if you're new listening in, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, I don't remember what the time difference is over there in, other nations or whatever, but you should be able to track it down wherever you're at, what central time would be to you. And so with that said, join me on that show, you know. And there's all kinds of research out there. Stephen Gibbons, I keep talking about this resource page that he put together, and he put link after link to all different types of researchers and different types of research into alternative energy. All these, if you go back and listen to any of these podcasts from the Knights of the Round Table, you'll hear about alternative medicines. And one of the things I like about that chat tango, if you go up to the top of each one of those chat rooms, you can actually scroll back through history on previous conversations, and the links should still be available there for you. It'll give you the previous 25 messages, whatever, after you scroll all the way at the top where it won't let you scroll anymore. There should be a link at the top of that chat room that will allow you to go back and see on certain days what was said in that chat room with links and all that to boot. So that's one of the reasons why I like the Chat Tango chat room right there, because all those links that we posted, they're still there, and you can find them if you want to look for them. I'm sitting here trying to scroll up on them. We got certain chat rooms with a lot of people put a lot of messages in there, but all of those chat rooms over there will do the same thing once you get all the way up to the very top of the last message or whatever. And there'll be a deal that where you can go back to the previous messages and so on. But either way, they're on the website over to People for People. They've got links posted everywhere, and Chaziz Radio's got links posted anywhere, everywhere. And so if you want to contact us direct, you can get us on Skype. Shaziz, same username. All you got to do is throw me a message out there. We'll talk. We'll work things out. Throw a message up in the chat room. You know, something you want us to see. Something that you've researched and found. But either way, download that information. Download all these podcasts. You know, there's a lot of ideas on there. You know, there's all kinds of information available. And this is the time when each of us should be trying to stockpile information. Information, power, knowledge is power. You think these folks out there that play the game on us, you think they don't know it? They know it. And so, you know, if find out everything you can find out. Download it, print it out, do whatever you got to do to make sure you got your own personal library in case the whole heck does break loose. And if the power grid goes down, you know, we'll get it right back up. That's what I'm hoping to get my lab finished as soon as possible so that I can start showing you all the stuff that I keep talking about on these shows. You know, I'm working on it. But the whole key about all of this right here, and even the Knights of the Round Table, even the trouble that we have with the doggone network trying to keep it up and running, and all the censorship, all the craziness going on, it takes us to make it work, because they're not going to do it for us. I've been doing this for years, folks. I've been doing radio for years, and I've noticed a trend. Your networks come and go. Those who stick together, they do good. Those who don't, those who give up too early or whatever, or those who just can't stay in it. You know, it...
Well, you know, I'm looking at, again, looking at the Kali Yuga, and Chris popped up an interesting link, too. We'll have to go check it out. But there are cycles. There are natural cycles, and there's archaeological, facts about these cycles and the fall, rise and fall, the golden age, the dark age, and various other cycles. You know, there's a period, a duration of 12,000 year duration, and each yuga, it's called, or each time period is about 2,700 years each, or possibly 3,000. They're talking, what we're looking at is a shift in, not only in the world, but in the cosmic system. There's a relationship here.
So when's the next one due, or are we having it now?
We're in it now, supposedly, according to the various texts about the downfall of morals, sexual perversions. There's a whole list of stuff that it's just like we are in it, you know. But I wanted just to remind us that this is also about a time of shifting in our consciousness. This, according to you, so you have several prophecies lining up here. You have the fifth world, 1,000 years of peace prophecy that the Hopis speak of. You have the prophecy I was given, the same one in a vision. We were talking about visions the other day about these coming times, and that was 30 years ago. And we are in that now, the timeline again of the return of the sacred feminine, sacred masculine. Well, then we're still pitted against each other, and they're doing an even better job pitting us against each other. That's the factions of the dark working against the light, unfolding against our enlightenment, about our conscious awareness, about the rising of our consciousness, the rising of our frequencies. This is the energies and frequencies of things. So we are in this, we are in this current up, it's an upswing, right? But you have things going on in the world, natural things going on in the world, then you have enhanced things going on in the world. We could say the weather manipulation, the fracking, which is causing earthquakes, the various other things. So, but you have natural phenomena that is going on in the weather. You have natural things that was a cycle. You know, you have various other things. We are in a cycle as well. Human being, human humanity is in a cycle, you know. And we have to remember that there is the golden age. There's the rise and the fall of ancient civilizations over and over again. We have seen this historically, right? So I think this is why I say step back and take a breath, you know, and get right with your creator and get your people together, get your community together, start your gardens if you can. But your community is essential. Let go of the system. Step away from the system. Get away from the matrix. Stop being glued in and stuck in and captured by this web. This is the whole plan, is to take us down. We are co-creators, right? So what we believe in, well, guess what? We're kind of manifesting, right? If you believe in the doom and gloom, and if you believe in all this, insanity, that's going to be your experience. But we are in a natural cycle. The sun is in a cycle. You have the grand solar minimum. It's not the Earth heating up. It's not global warming. It's the grand solar minimum occurring. But nobody's talking about that because they won't get money out of that because there's nothing you can do about that. So they set up this global warming lie so that everybody's, again, pointing fingers at this one, pointing fingers at that one. Now, I'm not saying that people and corporations and so on are not, effective here. They are. They're basically doing great harm to the earth. But, you know, this is amazing, again, because we say the earth doesn't need healing. We are the ones that need the healing. When we heal ourselves and come into alignment, okay, into a higher frequency, which is basically compassion and love, our world will change. Your world first changes first. So start with yourself. I'm just saying, we are in a natural cycle, a human cycle, humanity cycle, shift, new paradigm, awakening, awareness, you know, reaching a different frequency, an awareness and a connectedness. We're calling it the Great Awakening, I guess you could say. And the Earth herself is in her natural cycle. We're part of the Earth. The Earth is in a cycle, in a change. We are part of that, too. I'm just saying, we should not get alarmed. We should not be freaking out. Do some research, you know, get some wisdom and knowledge under your belt so that you can make, you know, sensible and, you know, important determinations, you know, not to react, you know, don't be reactive, you know, this is what I'm saying.
Yep, and, you know, at this stage in the game, what does anybody have anything to lose by, you know, doing the research and, you know, actually taking the time to copy some of that stuff down and saving it for future use or whatever? And getting into your community and making, you know, little clubs or networks or whatever you can with each other and start branching out. You know, there's so many organizations out there that started off that way. You know, some of the major religions of the world started off that way. You know, we're not talking about going out and forming a new religion. We're just talking about going out and informing each other about possibilities, things. Just asking those questions, what would we do as a community if things really went bad? You know, and that way we could still be able to care for our families and get the medicines that we need. There's a lot of folks right now that would be in really serious trouble if everything went to heck in the handbasket. If the economies crashed and everything went the way that it was, that it would probably would go, then they wouldn't be able to get certain medicines that they've already been accustomed to. That's going to drive them crazy. It's probably going to create yet even more problems. We're in a pinch right now. You know, they have us right now that we need the system, you know, for a lot of different things. And without that system, without that support from that system, and this is the game that they play on you, get you reliant on the system so that you have to have this.
That's why I say get out of the system.
Yeah, and that whole
Start
thing about
taking responsibility. Yeah,
the whole thing about the you know, the mark of the beast. You know, you can't buy, sell, or trade. Well, we've already seen that. You got a debit card. You got the money. You know, right now we still have paper money, but you know, there'll probably come a day because of these way they're doing with these diseases, is to say that, well, we can't have paper money anymore because we can't have y'all touching each other because you might make each other sick, so we got to go to digital currency, which then in turn puts us in jeopardy of any time somebody don't like what we have to say, stealing our money or whatever. You know, we already have this problem with security on the internet and phones with the way that, you know, there's a lot of hacking going on. You know, the internet wasn't built as security. For security, it was built to exchange information, and now there's people that know dirty tricks to get around stuff. There's people that know how to spy on you, turn your cameras on remotely, and all that kind of stuff. You know, we live in a ridiculous time where, you know, your privacy is becoming slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. And the only one that can protect that in your home is you, you know, as crazy as it sounds. Any one of the doggone devices I got that have, you know, a built-in camera, there's tape over the top of that camera. It only comes off if I want to take a picture, because I'm not going to allow somebody to hack in and just, you know, spy on me. Not that I'm doing anything that you don't need to know about, but still, it's my personal space, so why would I want you to be watching, you know? But it's more than that. And these folks have documented everything. They got your blood type. They got, in most instances, they probably got a sample of your blood. They got your DNA. They got pictures of your face and your eyeballs and all that. And they're working towards this new system with, basically you go stick your face or your thumbprint up to something, and you don't have to pull out your credit card or any cash. We're heading that way. We're heading into a new world of technology. I'm saying that we the people got to get a grip on it before it gets out so far out of hand as if it's not already. But, you know, I still think that we're not at 0 hour yet. I still think that we still have some power to do things about it. There's different software that's available. There's different organizations out there that are doing open source work and willing to share that with each other. We need more of that. We need more people willing to get out there, talk to other people in the world, and start passing notes if that's what it takes. Write the information down on a piece of paper, hand it off to somebody, and go around the web. You know, what do you think they did before the internet? Hey, people got out and talked to each other. They networked. They knew each other. They passed notes. They sent it by Pony Express or whatever. You know? We're going to have to get back to that. We're going to have to get back to more like what used to go on in the tribes where they took care of each other. They went out and hunted and provided for one another. But there's a lot of people to this very day that just have no idea on how to feed themselves. If they can't go to the grocery store and buy it, if they don't have it in the refrigerator, if they can't just walk over and turn the light switch on, they wouldn't know what to do. And that's basically what the system wants. Needs you to be reliant on the power company, needs you to be reliant on the medical industry, needs you to be reliant on the government. Come join the military. We'll take care of you. We'll feed you. All you gotta do is what you're told. Same thing. Folks, it's up to you. It's up to you as an individual to empower yourself, to believe in yourself enough to really believe that you can make a difference with the words that are coming out of your mouth and your actions, you know. Go out there, gather some food up, go find somebody who's hungry and feed them. It's that simple. You know, I get it. You can't bring everybody and his brother home with you, that every stranger that you find, every homeless person. But there's got to be a way that together you and your neighbors can find a solution to help that person out. You know, start a club, start a group, start some sort of organization. Get out there and start networking with people before it all falls apart. Because once it all falls apart, it's just going to become too ridiculously chaotic. You know, there's folks out there right now that aren't even listening to none of this stuff. They don't care what we got to say because they've got the world the way they want it. They're out there playing all these cool video games, and they even have websites where you can have a second life, and it's like you got a little avatar, and you can go around and you can do all this stuff, and you're spending all their time and energy up inside a digital virtual world, which sometimes you can't blame them because it's an escape from what we've been talking about. It's an escape from the reality of people in this world suffering. You know, you could build a perfect world if you were in control. So if you got this digital world, you can go in and you can build it in any way you want. Make up your own rules in there. Well, maybe it'd be a wonderful place to live. But unfortunately, in the real world, where your body's actually, residing, there's things going on around you. There's things going on in your neighborhood. There's people out there that are struggling really bad. There's people out there that are suffering, and they're reaching for the drugs. They're reaching for the bottle. They're reaching for every single option other than each other to try to make things right. And that these folks out there that are good at playing the Jerry Springer effect on us, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, and they know why they're doing it. They do it because it's profitable. You get us fighting amongst each other, we're going to beat each other up. We're going to go to jail. We're going to have to pay fines. We're going to have to pay medical bills. We're going to have to buy medicine. That's it. Everything you do, you make them money. Every single thing you do, you make them money. Doesn't matter. You go out there, do your dirty deeds on the internet, whatever. They're going to make money off of it. And they're going to catalog it. And come the day you decide you want to run for president of these United States, or senator, or congressman, or even of your parliament members, they're going to say, hey, you remember this? They're going to pull that secret file out. And they're going to keep you from doing what you could do to make this world better, because they don't want it to be better. Better means that they don't have the same funds coming to them. Better means that they can't send you to war for ridiculous stuff. Better means that they can't pit you against each other for your color, race, religion, creed, or whatever. Don't matter. It just all of this stuff, you're just going to have to step back and look and see around you what's really going on. The hardest thing that I've found to try to find in the world is the truth. That's why, as a Christian, I'm not out here beating people upside the head with the Bible and telling them, you better listen to this or you're going to go to H-E double hockey sticks. I'm not doing that. Because I don't even know the truth. I have to live by faith. I have to walk a spiritual journey of my own. And I have to live by example. I've had some pretty amazing things that have occurred to me. Things that I've been shown that I believe in with everything I got. And they were amazing. And so I'm trying to find my way. Whether it be to find my actual heritage. And if I could find that I was part of a tribe, I would get to know them. But regardless, I still got all you out there because according to the book, there's 12 original tribes of Israel. There's 12 original tribes of the world there. Maybe there's more, I don't know. But we ain't never going to get there the way we're going because we're spending too much time being distracted by everything under the sun. We'll medicate ourselves and drink ourselves into oblivion until we're in the hospital with swollen livers and brain damage and whatever, alcohol poisoning. We'll do that. They're not going to stop us. They don't care about you buying drugs. They made it illegal so they can make more money at it. Supply and demand. It's the same reason why they do everything. It's supply and demand. You tell everybody the world's going to be doomed because of carbon. Heck, you can even sell the breath out of somebody's mouth. Think about it. These folks have figured out a way to monopolize everything from the breath that you're breathing out to your blood to your doggone water. You go try to buy a bottle of water, you think about it. Think about how much water is on this earth. Earth is over 3/4 covered in water. That's what science tells us. So's your body. 3/4 covered in water. You need water to survive. And in order to get some decent water, you got to go buy a bottle of water because you can't trust the crud coming down the pipes because they put chlorine and fluoride in the water and who knows what else depending on where you live. If we don't get back to nature like Barbara's been trying to tell everybody forever and a day, I've listened to her for years. She's got a wonderful soul. She's got some wisdom. She's been around. And all these folks out there, you know, that talk about nature and the earth's healing qualities, now would be a good time to listen in. You know, we'll find out the truth when we get there. So, hi, Jerry. Well, how are you doing?
We have a guest, Jerry, joining us. I just called her in, but I just wanted to say something before Jerry gets on. And I want to say that I have a different perspective about... you know, I look at this mess, but I see the good things, too. I see that it's, okay, you can be terrified and in fear and say this is a big mess and it's all hopeless and they got this on us and they're going to do that to us. See, I don't go there. I think this is an awesome time that we are here for. I think that this is a transitional moment in our humanity's history. In our, you know, as I spoke about earlier, but I see this as an awesome, extraordinary, amazing time to be here. You know, I don't latch myself onto the, you know, they're doing all this, whatever they're doing to us. I know they're doing it, and you know what? I'm not gonna let it eat me up. I know something far greater and more, you know, significant and so awesome and amazing. So it's my perspective, you know, and it doesn't matter what you think of it or whatever. I'm aware, I'm awake, I do research, I know the dark, dirty, deep, evil stuff going on. I know that is real, but I also know the awesome, amazing miracles and the purpose and reason why we're all here and the sacredness of everything. And that's what I just wanted to say that. And Hi, Jerry.
You know,
welcome. Glad you made
Jesus,
it.
Jesus said that no man would know the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night. So what that tells me is, in the meantime, we're all in this boat together. And so we're either going to sit around and wait for this, or we're going to get to work and fix that. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not giving up either, but I'm just making sure that everybody realizes that we need to be proactive in working on this world that we live in. Hi, Jerry. How you doing? She got her microphone.
Hello.
There you are.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you great now.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering, because I left my mic in. I think that's the key. I just have to leave it in all the time. I've got an external mic. Because I'm running on, like, duct tape and bailing wire here for my computers.
Well, I know that feeling.
Yeah. So I think that's the key, because my mic often doesn't work. But anyway, it's nice to be here. I've been working and kind of listening in a little bit here and there. But, yeah, it's a really interesting. I was just reading through the chat room, and it is a really amazing time to be alive. And, you know, talking about all this crazy stuff going on in the world, and it's like almost comical, you know, if it wasn't so sick.
Yeah.
But just the way they're fanning the flames and keeping people scared and blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't read the newspapers. I don't watch the news. I'm like, I just feel like whatever I need to know, it comes to me. But, Angel saying he still can't hear a thing. But the other day, just yesterday, I had a patient in my office here. I do acupuncture and herbal medicine. And I had a new patient. She was an old lady. She comes in, and this other lady who, she was going on and on and on about the Chinese and, like, how this, you know, the bats, you know, got the virus and people eat live bats, and they had it on TV, and she was eating a live bat. My poor other patient was, like, you know, kind of traumatized. And so I've been wanting to do this for a really long time, but I made myself a little sign, and it says, no TV talk. And it's got, like, a red circle and a slash through it. So I put it up in my office today, or yesterday, after that lady left, and it was cute. One of my somebody else walked in today, and he was cracking up. He took pictures of it of the sign. So anyway, I just got tired of it. You know, it's like, because I feel like all this stuff is basically just, you know, they can't, you know, or they don't do the whole tank and gun thing here, you know, in the United States on this turf, or in Europe right now. But it's the way to keep the war going, you know, and keep everybody in fear and freaking out. And I mean, I'm firmly committed, I'm firmly believe that, you know, it's that's just the way to keep us out of the present moment and out of our potential to feel good, you know, or to heal, to get better. And so I really, at all costs, when I'm at work and with people working on their health issues, I just, you know, I will not talk about politics. Like, you know, no politics at all. And then what I tell them is that, you know, what I believe in is this right here, this circle that we're in, this room right here, and your health. This is the most important thing in the world right now.
Yeah.
You know, no politician, no guns, no wars, or this and that. There's nothing can convince us that this is the most important place to be, is right here, right now. And boy, you should see the looks on people's face when they get this sense of relief. Like, wow, somebody told me that it's okay to just be me, be in my life right now.
Well, and that's why I do this this show, because I personally, if I was by myself and I never looked at the news and never paid attention to anything going on in the world, I think I'm secure in my own spirituality, that I think myself and my family and my little circle would be fine. But as long as I know that there's people out there on the battlefield, or not just the people on the battlefield, but the people out there that have the potential to go out and talk to their neighbors or their friends and put these positive pebbles out there to try to keep it going. You know, if everybody's out there nothing but negativity like the news, then there's nobody out there saying, hey, there's solutions, there's solutions. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, it's like people just get sort of anesthetized to feeling like, well, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. And, okay, yeah, then that's the truth. There's nothing we can do. And they get enough people saying that. It's just like here with these chemtrails. I was listening to somebody posted a talk. It turned out it was a couple years old, but some famous sort of exopolitic person was talking about, oh, Trump got rid of the chemtrails. It's like, are you kidding me? I looked out the window, there was like 600 chemtrails. Yeah. Was it yesterday or the day before? And, you know, it's just somebody in Africa. I did a interview with this guy who makes Organite, who, you know, swears by that it's been helping with the drought there. I did buy something from him, and it seemed like it did work here last year. This year, I don't know if I need to do something to it, but to shake it into action because it's not helping with the chemtrails. It's supposed to break up the chemtrails somehow energetically and allow the weather patterns to come. But we're just getting sprayed like cockroaches over here, you know. The weather that's coming in, like there was this morning. I get up early and I looked out over the Marble Mountains where we live in Northern California, and there was this big, huge patch of really puffy white, looked like snow clouds. It could have been snow clouds. And it was cold, and it was like you could tell they were coming. They were coming our direction. And then they were just chemtrailing all over the place. You know, and so if people, I believe that, you know, we could even do something about that. Like if we all put our minds together in prayer and affirmation and things like that, but they just keep going on and on and on. Wow. Like even the exopolitics people talking about how, you know, we're doomed, that this is what they're doing, there's nothing we can do about it, blah, 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 you know. And well, so, you know, enough people think that, and then we're not going to be able to. So
it's actually more bizarre, the whole thing with Trump getting rid of the chemtrails. It's not just that he got rid of the chemtrails, okay? He didn't eliminate the chemtrails. Supposedly, they're a method to change the chemtrails from what they were, which harms us humans and does not harm the entities, okay? Pay attention to what I'm saying here.
I've heard it, yeah.
And they basically changed the chemtrails to be healing chemtrails.
Let me just finish.
I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Healing chemtrails for us, and now they will harm the entities. Well, I don't buy it either. Okay? I'm just telling you how bizarre it is, because there are people who are actually believing in that. When I asked what was in the new properties of the, you know, what are the new properties in the chemtrails? The new ones, the healing ones, I asked. Did not get an answer. Was ignored. Now, you know, we know what's in the chemtrails, right? I mean, if you've done a study, we know what they're putting in there. I said, we know what is in the chemtrails, what we've been being sprayed with all these years. Well, now tell us what you guys put in. What's the... nothing, right? But respond to what you said about your feeling and believing that we can do something about it energetically, I've been doing that for years. It's again like, you know, as I do, and we've been talking about this, about how frequency and energy is a key thing here, and everything has an energy and everything has a frequency, and what we believe in, we manifest and create. So if you're being chemtrailed and you look up in the sky and you start screaming and you say, oh, we're being poisoned, we're going to be killed, we're doom and gloom, well then you're adding to the negative frequency of the chemtrail. But instead, if you look up, and I talked about this many years ago in my circles, about don't go into the negative, go into the love, go into the frequency of light and love and healing, right? I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I got that. You know, and I even go out there with my energetic bolt cutters. I'm like cutting the lines of their control. We've got these, you know, the tops of the mountains everywhere are all these supposed, you know, cell phone towers that are working on it. But yeah, I agree. You know,
I do have to say that I have seen changes here with the clouds. Actually have noticed, like last year, real clouds again, and other people in certain areas saying the same thing. You know, the real clouds, you know, when you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Charlie, he used to call them, oh, there's the spirit clouds, because they would
right.
be like the real clouds.
Yeah, well, where they show the ancestors and various other things,
yeah.
right? And I hadn't seen that in years, you know, and
yeah.
so... but I also have noticed, again, it's interesting, so I've noticed again periodically that they are spraying again, but you know what? Now I look at them and I say, oh, those are the healing chemtrails. I'm going to send that energy. I'm not going to send, oh my God, they're killing us.
All right. I want to throw another possibility out there that people might want to look into that's kind of crazy that I figured out the other day. I actually turned off my cell phone. I turned it off, but there's settings inside your cell phone where you can turn off the Wi-Fi. And keep in mind, I got Verizon Wireless, so there's towers that are all over the place, so I should have awesome coverage as long as I got my cell phone on me. The moment I turned off the Wi-Fi, I had absolutely no signal whatsoever. And I'm supposedly on the 4G that's switching over to the 5G. So what that tells me is that these cell phone companies are literally using your Wi-Fi system as the repeater. So anyone who is within range of your Wi-Fi system, you don't have to have a password or anything. You use your cell phone and you think you're bouncing off of a tower, but you're not. You're bouncing off of somebody's Wi-Fi system. And so anywhere you're around there where somebody in the neighborhood has Wi-Fi, you should have a good signal.
Yeah, that's been typical. That's been happening all along.
But don't you see where the fraud lays in that?
Yeah, well, you pay. Well, there are people who have hooked up to other people's, Wi-Fis, and they haven't paid. They don't pay. They know that they can just hook up to their neighbor or to somebody down, whatever, yeah.
Sometimes people share, you know, they pay part of it, and they, you know, in a building or something. Yeah.
Right.
I'm still on, I'm on wired.
You can take your, SIM card completely out of your phone and connect it through Wi-Fi and make phone calls. You don't need a SIM card. You can take it completely out of the phone. And then hook it just to turn on the one to connect to Wi-Fi. And you can make calls with that phone.
What's a SIM card? Is that what charges you?
That's the card that identifies your phone as to your account.
So you can take it out and then and cancel your account and still be able to make calls?
Yeah, anyone who's got a Wi-Fi that's not protected, that is not password protected, and you go to McDonald's, they got an open Wi-Fi, and you can just call right straight through their doggone phone.
Yeah, because you're getting, if you're in there, those places anyway, you're getting exposed to all that Wi-Fi radiation, right? No matter what, if you have a phone or not.
Yeah,
right?
What I'm saying is, though, you're paying these really high bills for your cell phone when they're taking and basically stealing Wi-Fi from people like me. I pay for a high-speed service that also has Wi-Fi access. Of course, now if you want to use mine, you'll have to put in my password on there. But the modern-day CenturyLink routers have a button that if you have access to that router, all you got to do is walk up there and hold on that button and set your phone, and that will automatically copy all the security information to your phone, and you can use my router without my permission.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
So there's some shenanigans going on in the cell phone industry that a lot of people ain't aware of.
Oh.
All these towers out there.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's more to it than meets the eye. We're being had again. Once again, we're being had by the companies and the corporations out there. Because I lost all signal the moment I shut that Wi-Fi off. everything. I had no signal. And I'm not only 5 miles away from the closest tower. There's another tower down the street that's less than 5 miles. So there's at least two towers around me. I always had great signal until they switched that over. But the moment they did, it bounces off Wi-Fi. If you're out in the middle of Nowheresville and you have tower, it'll use that tower. If you're not in Nowheresville, if you're at your neighbor's house and they have Wi-Fi, you don't even need their password. As long as that SIM card's in there, it'll shoot right through that doggone thing and use the internet for your phone call.
So then they're making money off of you, but they're not really, are they making more money that way?
Well, yeah, they're not providing the service. You
okay,
are.
Okay, yeah.
Your doggone router is being used as a public repeater for all these cell phones. So, you know, if I want to get on and actually surf the internet, then I have to have the password inside there. But if I'm just making a phone call, I walk around until I got a strong signal, walk towards your router with your cell phone and see if your signal don't increase. If your signal goes way up, the closer you get to that router, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. And it doesn't matter if you got their password or not. That cell phone has some way of using that router to actually act as a repeater to go down through the phone line and out to the internet and make that phone call for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which gives them even more spying access, because now you're going through my internet service. So if anybody ever does or says anything illegal, they'll probably come to my house because somebody did or said something illegal on their cell phone, and that was the last IP address that it came from. You see how crazy that is?
Well,
yeah, so we're up against it.
I just have to talk about the fear-mongering again to be very careful. You know, you guys on the chat here are on it, I see. You're really on it with, you know what Bill, who Bill Gates is, and you know, Angeline said that he's involved with the depopulation agenda. Laws says he has one of the patent holders of coronavirus, and now here is this headline, today headline, Bill Gates calls coronavirus a once-in-a-century pathogen and says it is more severe than the 1957 influenza pandemic that killed more than 66,000 Americans. Now, Mr. Bill Gates wants everyone, mark my word, to be vaccinated. This is the push, all right, to get everyone to be vaccinated, right? That depopulation plan that he has. And, you know, this is what this man is doing. So I'm just saying, just be very careful. They're trying to terrify us and, you know, and panic and various other things. This is a setup, I feel. This is my personal opinion.
Well, it sounds like they give you a disease and sell you the cure. That's what it sounds like.
Well, that's the problem reaction solution game they're playing.
Well, and they've been doing that for a long time, like even with the AIDS virus, you know, people are saying that.
That's correct.
And if they don't want you...
Antivirus, everything, and the Lyme, I mean, everything.
Swine flu, bird flu.
Swine flu, yeah.
I know, they closed down the Mexican border for 2 days. That really hurt a lot of people that live along the borders. Because, like, what, 6 people died of that, like, stupid, I don't know which one it was, I think it was the bird, the avian flu. I was like, total ridiculous. Like, how many millions of dollars did that cost, you know, to close the border down for 2 days?
Right.
So ridiculous. Like, 14,000 children die every day of starvation. Like, where's the media on that one?
You got to understand, we don't have the brightest people as representatives. We don't have the brightest people as media either, because they're out there perpetrating the fraud on the people and propagandizing. And the folks up there who are in supposedly in seats of power who should know what they're doing, they should at least know what type of government the U.S. is. We're not a democracy. We're a representative republic, but they constantly call it democracy. So these folks aren't even intelligent to know the style of government we got, and yet we entrust them with the go-ahead whether or not we're going to send our kids off to war and so on, and all these other aspects of our deal. And some of them have been in there so long, that, you know, that they're like they're embedded in it, just like the, they was talking about how the FBI, there is a deep state in the FBI and all the different agencies. These folks have been around for so long. They're not elected. They get hired on there. They stay in there for 20, 30, 40 years, and they cover up each other's corruption. They're talking about ain't nobody that was involved in that whole Trump deal with the Trump-Russiagate. Nobody's going to jail over it. Hillary Clinton ain't going to jail for what she did or anything else like that. None of these folks are going to go to jail. They're all going to get by with it. But that's just another slap in the face to the people, because once, you know, you got two separate rules, but once the people finally get fed up and stand up against them and get violent about it, well, they already got plans for that too. They got the National Defense Authorization Act and the Patriot Act. That's why I say you got to be smarter than the average bear.
I just want to say, pop in here quickly because I have to go. I just got called. Okay, so I just want to, here's a little piece just to reflect upon. This is how they do this. Gates urged governments, plural, to invest in disease surveillance, including a global case database. Okay. Now, if you know all the people on that database that they're being surveilled for disease, that's easy then to go get them for the vaccinations. I'm just saying.
Yep. And if they make it mandatory, you go to jail if you don't take it. Go to jail
that's
if you don't
right.
let your kids have it.
So get your chaga, get all the, you know, get working on the frequencies, because there are those healing frequencies that we've been talking about. I don't know for how many years, Jerry, you know about them too, you know? And
it's interesting. Some of my herbal companies that I buy herbal medicine from, to Chinese herbs, they're starting in March. A couple of them sent out emails that March 1st they're going to start just tracking how, so make sure that people aren't stockpiling like their antiviral or, you know, any kind of medications, because, you know, people are starting to realize that the natural stuff is what works.
Yeah, I'm starting to see hemp seed stuff all over on it. It's actually selling in Walmart now. I'm starting to see, you know, different hemp seeds and the whole hemp seeds ones where they got the center of it, whatever. The actual seed itself, or you could buy different oils. I'm starting to see a lot of that. You know, you never heard that before.
Yeah, well, in Chinese medicine, you did.
Yeah,
we had it. Yeah. It's been there for. I took a class on Monday, just this last Monday, with one of my herbal teachers from a. He's like a consultant for one of the herbal companies. And he is a allopathic med. He's like a Western doctor pharmacologist.
Yeah.
So he knows about, you know, all the pathogens and the allopathic medications and stuff. Plus, he's a Chinese medical Chinese doctor of Chinese medicine too. So he's the herbal guy who makes all the formulas. But he was saying that, and he's from China, right? He lives in, I don't know, here somewhere in the United States, but. He was saying that 400 people have died in China of that virus. He didn't really want to get into the whole, like, how it happened or where it came from, because they're professionals and they have to, you know, sort of play the game in some ways. But he did say that he gave all these statistics, and one of them, he said that 400 people died in China from the virus. They were all, every single one of them, were old, and they were immunocompromised. They were sick already and very weak. And only one child got it, and they just, it was like they had the flu and then they got better. And nobody who was like, you know, just sort of adults or teenagers even who were relatively healthy has gotten that virus.
So they're just basically using it for political purposes to basically weaponize the politics and that disease. Or that virus. That's the dirty secret about all this stuff. That's why I tell people, you know, go out and do some doggone research and look into all these alternative medicines. I honestly believe that there's already a cure for cancer. Look into
hyperbaric
oxygen treatment. Look into that. Look into all kinds of you name it.
Yeah.
And
there's tons of stuff. There's so many different ways to cure cancer, for sure. We have, and this is really interesting, we have this, where I live, in Northern California, it's kind of really near the southern Oregon border, in the mountains here, and there's these springs. There's a lot of hot springs and stuff around here, but there's these one springs that are actually CO2 springs.
Yeah.
And, you know, CO2 is a gas. You can't see it. You can't, I don't think you can smell it. If you did smell it, you'd probably die, right?
Yeah. If you're in a pool, yes, you'd suffocate.
You would die immediately. Yeah. So they have these, there's this, it's a developed spa. And I think it was back like the turn of the like 19th century, early 1900s. It was actually a medical spa there where there was a doctor and they had people come with cancer and, they had these really nice sort of old-fashioned wooden spa sort of cages. Remember the Three Stooges, how they used to get into the saunas and they would put those wooden things over their heads and their heads would be sticking out?
Yeah.
Well, it's just like that. So they had these benches and the CO2 was in the ground and these benches were dug down into the ground. You kind of walk down these steps. And so the guy was explaining how CO2 works and stuff, and he had this newspaper, and he lit it on fire, and he put the news, you know, was rolled up like a candle or something, and he let it burn, and then he put it down to where into this pit where these benches were, and it went out. And so, no, he just said, Laws, saying that we breathe out CO2, it's not poisonous. Yeah, it's not, but in concentrated forms. He said,
CO2
would damage your
CO2
lungs.
Is heavier than oxygen, so it will displace oxygen. The only thing CO2 is two oxygen atoms connected to one carbon atom, which makes it heavier than oxygen. So it'll push oxygen away. And even carbon monoxide, which is one oxygen atom connected to one carbon atom, is the same thing. It's heavier than oxygen. What makes carbon monoxide dangerous is the fact that it's small enough to fit into your respiratory system, and so you can get carbon poisoning from that.
Poisoning.
Yeah.
So maybe he meant if you fell down and hit your head and were laying there, you might die.
Well, they tell
right?
you that if you're around the base of a volcano, you got to walk up. Watch it. Be careful because you can walk into a pool of CO2 because it pulls up in low-lying areas.
So
that's another reason why the whole climate change due to CO2 is a hockahooey, because, you know, if you go from, let's say, like up to the top of Mount Everest, what's it, like 10,000 feet or something like that, and you get up there, well, the oxygen is really thin up there, so, you know, you need to take extra oxygen with you so you can breathe better, or you got to walk slower because you can't get as much oxygen. And the higher you get up in altitude, the less oxygen is up there. And then so the deal is, they're sitting there trying to tell you that there is something that is heavier than oxygen, can magically make it up there where oxygen can't make it to. Not even carbon monoxide could, defy the laws of physics as far as gravity goes.
Wow.
So you're going to have oxygen at the top level because it's the lightest. You're going to have CO2 the next one down, and then you're going to have carbon monoxide the next one down. Well, the carbon monoxide would actually be in the middle. It'd be in between the oxygen and the CO2. So it's being pulled down because it's basically got a boat anchor on it. It's got a piece of carbon attached to it. But we got CO2 in our soda pop. Man, I'm like, seriously? Everybody's going to have to start drinking flat soda. You know? So, you know, and then through a process called photosynthesis, the carbon gets scrubbed off by the plants around us, and they turn that into sugar, and that's plant food, and it releases fresh oxygen for us. So, nature loves it. And in reality, we need it as well because it feeds the plants.
Yep.
It's crazy.
So, at these springs, anyway, this place was, it's very healing. So he would show us how the CO2, it was kind of like water in a way, but it's gas. And so he had this burning thing and he would kind of follow it like it was in these pools. It was pooled up in these pits. And then it would kind of come out and sort of spill down the stairs out of the cabins.
Yeah.
And so you could follow it with the fire, and he'd show you where it was because he put the fire down onto it, and it would go out. So anyhow, the Indians are I'm going to put a link to it here, of these springs in Oregon in the chat room. So the Indians who lived around here, they would travel for a really long ways to come to they were healing springs. And that the spa that was there before was actually a cancer-treating spa. That they said that, and here people are saying that oxygen is what kills cancer. But I'm wondering, is this just another doublespeak, another big fat lie? Because I know so many people who've gone on like really high oxygen situations and they died of cancer. And I'm wondering if this is another way that they've, lied to us. So, but I actually was having a really major medical issue one time when I went out to a workshop there a couple of times, and I was just having a little bit of a scare that could have been cancer. I'm not sure. I don't really go to doctors fully. I sometimes go for testing, but not recently. But anyhow, I asked the guy, could I go in there for a little while, like 10 minutes or something? He's like, okay, just don't tell anybody. So he let me go in there, and I felt like it was really amazing feeling that I think that it helped me get rid of this thing that was going on with me. Yep. Well, it was the CO2 was what was healed.
There's two types of cancer that people, when you think about cancer, you think about all different types of cancer. Obviously, there's different, organs or whatever that's affected. But in reality, there's two different types of cancer. One that they say is a viral type, where your actual, immune system or whatever is messed up. All right. Well, the other one is like a synthetic, like mesothelioma, where you get like asbestos fibers into your body, into your lungs, and that particular one there, oxygen treatment's not going to help. You're going to have to figure out a way to break that synthetic up in order to be able to do it. But if it's a normal type of cancer cell, oxygen, cancer cells and viruses and parasites can't live in a highly oxygenated environment. So, if it's something like, a cancer due to, being around asbestos or some sort of fiberglass, some sort of synthetic that gets in your body, what that does is just like how a pearl is made when an oyster is sitting there, and maybe a fish swims by and his tail flicks a piece of sand up inside that oyster shell. Well, that oyster can't spit it out, and so its immune system starts to attack it, and it can't dissolve it. So what it does is starts to coat it. That's the same thing that happens in your body, and eventually you get this mass that takes on a life of its own. And what happens is that mass will keep growing, getting bigger. And if it ain't removed, then it will start pressing down on vital organs, cutting the oxygen off. 90% of all the diseases out there are due to oxygen deprivation. If you can find the original source of where it actually started from and treat that original source, you can get that thing to heal. And that's the problem. That's what modern science, or modern medicine, it's all about going in there, radiating it or cutting it open and that kind of stuff. Like they're trying to chop pieces out, but they're not addressing the initial cause. There's a doctor, Lorraine Day, that wrote a book called Diseases Don't Just Happen. I suggest people read that book because she explains it, how your body's a chemistry set. But there's two different types of cancers out there, maybe multiple different types of like kidney or liver cancer or whatever, lung cancer. But there's reasons for each one of them, one being what they say is a viral type of cancer cells. And then there's the other, which is a synthetic, where you get some sort of synthetic thing that your body can't get rid of. It won't come out of your pores, it's stuck into your flesh or whatever, and then your immune system attacks it. And it'll keep coating it up. It can't get rid of it. It still knows it's there, so it'll constantly keep working at it. And eventually, you got this huge mass that's starting to weigh down on your vital organs. But that's where the Rife technology could have come into play, because he was talking about not just being able to target specific bacteria, leaving one bacteria completely unharmed while destroying the other one with frequency ranges. The same thing could apply to different synthetics, to where you could literally vibrate a, if you knew the material that was inside somebody's body, you could literally vibrate it until you shatter it to pieces, making it smaller, and then maybe your body could expel it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Because, you know, the body is just so infinitely intelligent that, you know, it's protecting us at all points. And actually, those tumors are a good thing. If you are exposed to that, those kind of environmental toxins, your body's just trying to encapsulate it so that it doesn't get, that stuff doesn't get into your vital organs.
Well,
so going in there and cutting on them,
and that oxygen therapy, the reason why it works, they've been able to cure different stages of gangrene. They've been able to cure tumors in people's brains, because how it works is you get your stem cells to actually doing the work. It gets them energized. Well, it also gets down into, you know, not just the blood, but it gets down into the plasma. You know, that that liquid that the blood cells swimming around in. It actually gets it down into the plasma, which enables it to get to the soft tissues in your body to promote healing from the inside out. So, you know, they've been able to cure diabetic ulcers and stuff like that. Well, like I said, but when it comes to cancer, and you're talking two different types of it, one's like a viral, which you can cure. The other one is like a synthetic, which takes something else. And that's where that frequency of being able to go in there, just like an opera singer singing at a glass and making it shatter, you hit that resonant frequency, you can literally shatter that part and get it small enough to where then your body could potentially expel it. Or, you know, if you knew exactly where it was in that area, you could take it out. You know, the worst case scenario.
Well,
that to
yeah, but the person would have to stop getting exposed to that stuff, though.
Yeah.
And plus, I would think that before you did something like that, you'd have to really work on their elimination system, their systems, so that when it did break apart, that they were really in good shape so their body can't. Because most people, if they are that toxic, you know, they're eating crap and you know, getting exposed to a lot of bad stuff and stuff.
But
yeah. Well, I'm wondering, Shaziz, what do you think would be the mechanism of the CO2 on the body? Like as far as like using it for a spa, it's like what would that do? Just like absorbing it through the skin like that.
Well, I know
would
that,
that be
know
something
that,
that would be detoxifying, or what?
I know that carbon will kill bacterias and viruses. So, you know, when you make like activated carbon, like if you go out and you burn some wood, and then you when that wood's burning and it gets down to the ash, and then you put it out or let it go out, that black stuff is carbon left over, all right? And then you can use that for water filtration. And so if I'm visualizing this thing, these people are in this box and their heads out where they got fresh air, and all the CO2 is, you know, surrounding their body. Anything bacterial on their body couldn't withstand that. There's too much oxygen and too much carbon, so it wouldn't absorb into your skin and poison you that way. But if you breathed it in, then you would suffocate, because it would push the oxygen that you need away from out of your lungs. So that's the deal. But I can see where, you know, the carbon portion of it could actually be a purification if used properly. Now, you can't obviously lay down and breathe that stuff. You know, we're not even supposed to breathe our own breath back in, you know, because it displaces your oxygen. But, you know, so all you have to do is have just a basic understanding of science. We've got the solutions, but there seem to be in the medical industry going to the extremes. You know, you can't just radiate any type of cancer. Radiation was ridiculous to begin with, because all that's going to do is destroy your immune system. Then your body is subjected to any possible types of, you know, germs or bacteria that might be in the neighborhood. Realize how many people's actually went to the hospital and then come down with the MRSA virus? It's getting expensive.
Oh gosh, yeah.
You know, but if they were doing things properly, you know, there's a use for everything out there. You know, there's a use for ozone. There's a use for CO2. There's a use for pure oxygen. You know, it's mind blowing to me how, you know, modern day science hasn't caught up with medical and modern day science hasn't caught up with it. You know, go read that book. Diseases don't just happen. She sits there and explains body being a chemistry set. You're 3/4 water, you know, and all the other minerals. Your body will literally tell you when you're short on something. You're low on sodium, you'll crave salt. And your body does that. It's amazing. So, you know, there's possibilities.
What is, looking in the chat room, we're talking about smoking cigarettes and vaping and stuff. Does vaping use CO2, or how does that work, the vaping thing, and why is that so bad for people? Because I've heard that vaping is actually worse.
I'm not exactly sure what the whole deal about vaping is. I've never looked into the actual science of it, but maybe I ought to, because it's probably not a very good idea to be doing that, because I'm thinking more like, and when you talk about different types of bronchitis or even pneumonia for that matter. Pneumonia is essentially your lungs start filling up with fluid and then you drown in your own fluids. So vaping to me don't seem like a really good idea. I mean, supposedly keeps you from getting all the other chemicals out of like a cigar or a cigarette or anything like that, but it doesn't seem like a really good idea to me, especially when people start putting like really highly concentrated nicotine or even, you know, different types of marijuana or whatever in there in their vapes. You know, not to mention some of them like to blow up in people's pockets when they modify them, but that's another story for another day. But I'd have to actually look into what's actually going on chemical wise with it before I could even say. But I wouldn't, me personally, I wouldn't use one.
Yeah, I've heard that they're actually worse for you than actual smoking, and then there's the the filters are worse for you. I guess it's better to smoke non-filtered cigarettes after all. It's just like basically everything they tell you, it's the opposite.
A lot of people complain about carbon dioxide, and you know, they're saying that that's what's causing the planet to heat up, where regardless they don't realize that cars don't produce carbon dioxide, they produce carbon monoxide.
Uh-huh.
And so you'll die really fast with carbon monoxide. And so if it was high enough to get up to the Earth's atmosphere, we'd already be dead. Same thing with CO2. But, you know, they don't understand the basic science of it, so they're basically hornswoggled into believing crazy stuff, you know. And I'm not one that would promote, different, you know, even smoking cigarettes for that matter. To each his own. If that's what you want to do, then, you know, whatever. But, you know, I would like to see a statistic of how many people who actually smoke cigarettes end up with colds and flus and stuff like that, as opposed to ones that don't, with their respiratory system wide open. I'm not saying it acts like a barrier, but if you think about what they're saying, how it coats your lungs all black and cruddy or whatever, it's going to be hard for anything to survive in there, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But when they say something's bad for you, you got a question. Why are they saying it? When they say it's good for you, you got a question. Why are they saying it? I want to know. What's the deal behind the scenes there? You know, they told everybody that alcohol was bad, and they did a prohibition, and then they had a war over prohibition. There were people making all kinds of illegal liquor and shooting each other up, and then they finally had to bring it back, and now it's okay to drink, but it ain't okay to smoke marijuana. So, you know, now marijuana is illegal, except unless you go to certain states, and they're trying to make that legal now. So what's the gig? I'm thinking it's all financial. Every last bit of it's all financial. the alcohol industry could have competed with the fuel industry, because you could burn that alcohol in your car instead of burning, you know, gasoline. So that would might have been one of the reasons why they wanted to get rid of alcohol. They probably didn't care about people getting wobbling around and getting drunk. They probably was more concerned about somebody figuring out that that stuff would burn in your vehicle, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a reason why they do the things they do. We just, it's going to be up to us to figure it out. But in the meantime, what do we do? You know?
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, we just stick together and affirm that we're going to be in the right place at the right time and with the right people, you know, because that our thoughts and our intentions and our prayers really work, you know, and I've seen it over and over and over here. So Chris is saying in the chat room about that cars produce carbon dioxide, but the 13-17% is allowed in the USA. They are not allowed to produce carbon monoxide. Is that what the catalytic converter? Is that what that?
Well,
is?
I know what the book says, and I know what their science says, but they're incorrect, because that's why people end up putting exhaust in their car and they die from carbon monoxide poisoning inside their. Or if you leave your car mm-hmm. running in the garage and that stuff gets up there, or if for some mm-hmm. reason it's your. Pilot light goes out in your stove. That's why you're supposed to have a carbon monoxide detector, which would also detect carbon dioxide. So, you know, but it takes higher levels. But I either way, you know, it's not even worth arguing over. Either one,
yeah.
They're both heavier than oxygen, so they displace oxygen. One's a smaller molecule, so it'll fit in your respiratory system and basically give you carbon poisoning, where the other one will just simply suffocate you. When in reality, both will actually suffocate you because they're heavier than
yeah.
oxygen. But if
you know, go ahead.
If there was enough carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide to reach the Earth's atmosphere, we'd all be dead right now. That's the whole sample of it. And the best greenhouse gas out there, even according to their own deal, is water vapor. And we're going to not get rid of water vapor. And there's no way to get rid of water vapor. Until the Earth stops doing what the Earth does, you're going to have clouds. You're going to have water vapor. We are actually right now, even if you're sitting in a chair, you're still living in water vapor. There's hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, other little particles of dust and all kinds of stuff we're floating around in right now. But the CO2 is heavier. That's why the guy that you talk about, how he had the fire, and he would show how if you brought it all the way down, you could actually find out where it was, because it put the fire out. It's falling to the ground. It's not rising up in the air.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point to have when you get carbon footprint kind of people. You know, and the sad thing is, like, I posted in the videos the other day, you know, it was a pretty good video about out here, the fires in California.
Yeah.
If you guys get a chance, go into the video quick link, and it says something about the Karuk tribe is fighting fire with fire. They traditionally used fire to keep the fires down. They burn stuff out, you know, the underbrush. But they always, like, slip in. So whoever actually made that video was talking about, you know, climate change and how these, you know, forest fires are due to climate change. It's a bunch of lies, you know.
Well,
and I just hate that because, you know, here's some good information, but then they always have to sneak in their little lies there everywhere you look.
Well, if they wanted to, they could actually use CO2 to put out the doggone fires. If you think about it, if you displace that oxygen, the fire ain't got no oxygen to breathe, it'll put it out.
Okay.
Anyway, there's a...
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. I love chatting with you. It's always... I like science, but you know what? I hated it in school because I just felt like it was a bunch of lies. So same with history.
Well, that's the whole thing. They're teaching these kids, we've got 12 years to live here because of this climate change and all that kind of stuff. Never mind that the world goes through natural cycles. Never mind the basic science of physics of anything like there. But that's the whole thing about education. If you don't, if you're not knowledgeable in certain things, they can say anything they want to, and you're going to believe it. We don't even know the truth of our own history, man. There's things out there that we don't understand what, you know. Some people believe about the, you know, how the big statues at Easter Island or the pyramids all over the place, the precision cut work that done, all this kind of stuff. So we're still all trying to figure out the truth. They haven't figured it out, and if they have figured it out, they sure as heck didn't share it with us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so here's a little interesting fact that my husband's from Germany, and he was saying that in the 1970s, like around 78, I think it was 76 when China opened their borders, right, to Westerners.
Yeah.
So in 1978, this German economist wrote this paper about he was using, I don't know, mathematics or somehow figuring out what they were going to do with China. He made these predictions that they were going to prop China up because it was one of the last places on Earth that hasn't gotten all their minerals stripped out, like they've gotten to get to America and Europe and Africa and all over the world, where China has this huge expanse of land where they can go in there and take all their resources. But so that this guy, this German economist back in 1978, had made this prediction that they were going to boost China's economy up. They were going to make it seem like, oh, China's going to be the next world power, and that's exactly what they did. And then they were going to go in there, take, you know, just use them and trash the place out, and, you know, strip all everything they could, and they were going to let China drop to nothing. And I think that this whole coronavirus is part of that, what they're doing, you know, to China. It's really sad because they're, you know, they've given the world so much amazing stuff, information, knowledge, wisdom, and it's just really sad that people are, you know, using this a tragedy, this a crime, basically, against humanity to, like, you know, blame the Chinese people for, you know, this virus. And that's just, people are talk about fires, you know, fire, fanning those fires, you know.
Well, it's like the whole North Korea thing. There's a lot of tragedies going on in North Korea. North Korea's leadership are treating their people so poorly over there and allowing, you know, them people to go through all kinds of suffering. And the rest of the world is complicit in it. Our best deal is we're going to put sanctions on them or whoever it is we don't like, and that doesn't hurt their government. That hurts the people, you know? And there's got to be a way. There has to be a way to help those people out, you know? All the things that are going on over there, prison camps and stuff like that, and not just there, over in China, the things that the elitists of the world are pulling off in front of everybody's eyes. I mean, look at, like, Africa. Africa is probably one of the most mineral-rich nations in the world and have some of the most poorest people in the world.
So, yeah.
Why are the average Joe allowing this? You know, we're buying their products. That's why we're, you know, as terrible as that sounds, they just have to stop buying what they're selling. Period. Because they're using child labor to make stuff. We don't know what, when we go to Walmart. Walmart used to say "Made in USA." That was their slogan, right? Well, then next thing you know, it was "Bring it back home to USA," and next thing you know, you could go through Walmart, and if you found anything that was made in USA, chances are it was probably one little province, you know, of USA, but it wasn't, like, right here in the States. But that's the game they're playing on us, literally.
Yeah.
We got to find a way around it. The best way around it is what we've been talking about, getting each other together and start working on things in our you know, personal communities and stuff, and working our way out from there, because these people don't care. They're talking all kinds of craziness. Like Barbara mentioned earlier about Bill Gates saying, you know, if we do a good job with vaccines, we can control the population. I'm like, well, hold on a second. What's vaccines got to do with controlling the population? I mean, that's supposed to be to cure you, right? They ain't trying to cure nobody. They're trying to think that if you can depopulate the world like the Georgia Guidestones got the number on there, and that number's a whole heck of a lot smaller than our population of the world today, which means a lot of people got to go. I'm not on the friends list of the elite, are you?
Nope.
I'm probably on their most wanted. No, that's the whole damn thing right there. You know, we're not part of the club. We're sitting out here telling people that there's solutions to everything. There is. There really is. I believe there's a cure for every disease out there. But we've been...
I believe that, too. I totally do.
We've been...
You know, and then things like, you know, what about who out there knows how to make shoes?
Yeah.
You know?
That's it.
You know, we need to just, like, get down to, you know, finding out what's interesting to us. Like, maybe somebody out there in the People for People chat room want to learn how to make shoes. You know, we need to start doing that kind of stuff. Learning how to just do things. Because that's one of their weapons, was to pull out, you know, any kind of knowledge of how to actually survive or live, you know, and then give all that so-called industry or whatever to China or Mexico or places where, you know, they're using people for their cheap labor and abusing them and stuff. And meanwhile, here, we don't know how to make shoes or pants or shirts, you know.
Well, you know, they come to get us when they want work done. And they offer us a measly little wage, a fraction of what they're going to make with their 300% or more markup on the product that you built. And so we already have the talent. It's just scattered out everywhere. But anytime they want a good scientist, they come find the smart people. They recruit them in. Everything goes under their umbrella. And I say, in America, they say there's like 320 million people in the United States alone. All right, well, if I only got a dollar in my pocket and every one of these other ones have a dollar in their pocket, we pitch that in, there's $320 million that we could do research on products like, you know, alternative energy things to show people that the real science is there. You can make this happen. And we become a power at that point when we work together. You know, of course, you're going to have to find people that you can trust, because I'm not a mathematician or, you know, one of those accountants or anything like that, but there's probably an accountant in your community. You bring all these people together with their talents, their skills. Everybody's got something to offer. I don't care who you are. Even if you can't do nothing more than sing, you know, that's keep everybody entertained while they're doing their hard work. Somebody's going to be out there cooking a meal for each other. But that's how that's how the system does it. When they want a fancy restaurant, they come and get you because you have talents. When they want to build things, shoes or whatever, they come to get you. They'll teach you how to do it, but they're gonna make the big profit off of it. But that don't mean you forgot how to do it. You still know how to do it. People know how to weld. And there's electricians. We have all the pieces of the puzzle necessary. We just got to figure out a way to inspire them to want to work together. You know, even if you only took a couple hours a week out of your own time and come together as a club just to work on a specific project that need to be resolved in your community, there's ways to do it. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep, and I think that definitely takes people, you know, being able to turn around and look at themselves and figure out what each one of us is interested in, because some people are so broken and trashed and abused and stuff that they don't even think that anything that they could do would make a difference, but it really will. It really, really will. And, you know, it depends. It's just like sitting on a bench and talking to people would be good.
Yeah.
You know, people need to talk to each other. And so, if you can't move or if you walk very good or work hard, you know, talking to people is a good thing. You know, we need to be together, and everybody has a gift. Everybody has something that's really, really important that this world needs. And so I just really love, you know, being part of this radio program, because it feels like we're like-minded people getting together, talking about these ways to get together and honor each other, and so we help lend a helping hand, whatever way we can.
So everybody here, write down peopleforpeople.ning.com. and write it on a piece of paper and hand it to somebody. Maybe if you got the time, sit down and write a bunch of them and just hand them off to people. Say, check this out. Go check this out. Write down ShazizRadio.com and just hand it to somebody. And that little start right there, and they'll ask you, why are you giving me this? And you start off the conversation and say, just out of curiosity, we live in this neighborhood right now where everybody's got a job, everybody's doing their thing and raising their family. But just out of curiosity, if all heck broke loose, what could we do as a community to ensure that all of our family was taken care of, medical-wise and everything? Do we have a plan as a community on how we could do this? Or are we relying on whatever the mayor or the governor or whatever is going to be able to do for us? Because if you're relying on government resources during a collapse like that, I hate to tell you this.
Yeah.
They usually don't fare so well. If you go back and look at things like Katrina, it was the people that was rushing in there bringing water and food and medicine and everything that they could pull off their own shelves to help those people out. You, the average Joe, was the first responder at every single one of those things. And then the government came in. And they took their photo ops and got reelected. You see?
Right, and then the whole Clinton Foundation, you know, they got so much money and it never showed up anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, my husband gets up and listens to the European, the German news every day. And, you know, like a few years ago, he was telling me, like, for a bunch of months, Spain had no government. They just shut it down because people were fighting too much. They were like 6 months or something with no government. Federal government. And the same thing with Germany. I think it was last year, Germany went for like 4 to 6 months with no government. There was too much infighting and they couldn't get anything done, so they just closed it down. It's like, we don't really need that. It's such a waste.
Yeah,
you know, when it's really people. Germany's still interesting there? Because there's a bunch of people here who are, you know, because in California they do have the mandatory vaccinations now for children to go to school, even preschool. Or a daycare, you have to have your kid mandatorily vaccinated. But so there's a bunch of people who are just, okay, I'm going to homeschool my kids and getting together and coming up with different ways that they could help each other out. And I just told this gal the other day, she had 4 kids, and, well, if you guys want to do some really very basic, I could teach Chinese medicine, like little acupressure, you know, classes for the kids.
Do
like
you have a website or a YouTube channel?
I have a website, yeah. It's jerryquintero.com.
Well, throw that link in there and we'll share it around with everybody, because that's a good thing to know right there. Chinese acupuncture goes back a long time and it's effective.
Yeah, so I could see, I feel like I'm getting towards, I'm 60 years old and thinking, well, I mean, I'm not old, I feel actually better than I have my whole life. I feel like I'm getting younger, but, because thanks to Chinese medicine, oh my gosh, but, you know, I would love to do that for schools, like, or not schools, but even just little groups of people teaching their kids to go in there and just do little, teach them simple herbal teas and the acupressure. I mean, there's so many things you can do. It's so simple. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's that time again, folks. Another wonderful show, I think. I mean, there's a lot of good information we talked about. We do got to talk about some tough stuff. But I'm still sitting there telling you there has to be a way. There has to be a way that we can bring us all together. There has to be a way that you can benefit your community. I'm telling you, each and every one, you got something to offer. Maybe you don't think so. Maybe you've been told a bunch of negative lies all your life, but you're a lot more important than you think you are. And so with that said, you got any last words of wisdom you want to share with everybody before you go out?
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, I think, you know, in Chinese medicine, they have a saying that when you're upset or get angry, that you poison a million cells in your body. And when you're happy and joyful, that you make a million cells in your body joyful and healthy. So, you know, just to put a little bubble around ourselves and just affirm that, You know, it's our spiritual responsibility to be happy and to be joyful. And the more we can separate ourselves from those lies, and the great thing about being alive right now is so many people are waking up to it. I mean, years and years ago, we were all like praying, like, geez, when is it going to happen when people start to wake up? And now they're starting to wake up. One of the problems with that is that, you know, people woke up like yesterday and then they start getting this big, huge internet presence and start marketing themselves and then slipping in stuff because they're not really that woke up. But anyhow, just, you know, whatever way you can to reach out and affirm that you're going to meet the right people at the right time. That we were chatting about me and how they all went onto my website. So, you know, I just really want to put that out there in the Cherokee tradition that they teach the kids, they teach people that it is our spiritual responsibility to be happy. And that is, I think, more than anything, going to starve them out because they can't feed on happiness or joy. Yeah.
Yep, that's the whole thing. That negativity is what they look forward to because, like I said, it don't matter what you do. They're out there making money off of you. If you're sick, they're making money. The whole doggone system, whether it be the Food and Drug Administration, the medical industry, the military-industrial complex, the legal system, they figured out how to make money off of your misery. It's that doggone simple. Folks, it's just the only thing that I got that I can do at this moment is what I've been doing. I put a platform together. We got the Knights of the Round Table. We got peopleforpeople.ning.com over there. They're doing the same thing. There's other networks out there. Bring these networks together. Share information with one another. Build things in our communities. We don't need to overthrow anybody. All we got to do is stand up and pull our resources together, and we can get things accomplished. And when people start to see that people are getting better and that things are working out, that old system, it'll get old. It'll eventually go by the wayside. It's no longer necessary. It's you know, like that old newspaper from years back. What good is it outside of being just a bit of history? You know, we have the power. We have the technology. We have the talent. We have the resources. Combined, there ain't nothing that we can't accomplish. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you've been inspired by anything you hear on here, or even any of the shows on peopleforpeople.ning.com, take a piece of paper, write down peopleforpeople.ning.com, and go out there and hand it to a friend. Hand it to a stranger. If you got the time to go out there and put it all over the place, that's the only way we're going to get more people here to start talking about the things that we talk about. I think what we're doing here, Jerry, is a good thing. And I think the more people we can get involved and speaking about common sense and talking about solutions to all the different negative things out there in this world, I think we actually have a chance to turn this ship around. I believe that. You know, I still believe in the dream, no matter how bad it seems to get. There has to be a way that we can figure out how to feed those people who can't get food to get the things they need. You know, as long as you're supporting the system out there, as long as you're out there protesting, you're making somebody money. Might as well take that doggone energy and start putting it towards real results. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, we got to get up out of here. You've been listening to Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love, everybody. Take care. Hope to see you at the Mad Science Show tomorrow. Peace and love.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh,
one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system.
want a giveaway. Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines, record a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we've given rise that our quite something able. We're off to bed in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Always looking to fill the turbo and the knights of the round table.